Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom! 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 Mommy! 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 Mama!
You're panicking!
Uh-huh! Join me, won't you?
I don't care if the entire cast of Eight is Enough comes out of there!
Is that chocolate or poop? Is that chocolate or poop?
It's chocolate.
What if that had been poop?
Oh, she pregnant. Can't have a bunch of old pregnant bitches running around. That's crazy.
I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
Let's be bad moms.
Oh, I'm in.
Right? Oh my gosh. Okay, this is exciting. I'm in.
Mom! Mommy! Mommy! Mama! Mama! Mama!
What?
Hi.
Fuck the water. Bring me mine.
I got so many so much to talk about.
Okay. Hello. Welcome to Mama's and Merlot, guys.
Hola.
Yay. My name is Vanessa.
Did you forget where to start?
No, yeah, I just didn't know where I was going. I'm like, what do I want to say? Like, we recorded last week, so
all right, let's start over.
People.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Mama's and Merlot, guys.
Hi,
my name is Vanessa, and with me is Christy.
Hello.
And Stephanie.
Hello.
And we have a special guest today, a returning guest, Mike Bergdahl.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Hello, everybody. Oh, and your dog. Hello, lady.
You have one of those names that it's like a first name, last name thing.
Yeah.
Mike Mergadal?
Yeah.
Like, you can't
say
the first name.
Well, I was going to just say Michael, but...
But if there's, like, yeah, because in all fairness, when I grew up, I was... Michael was the popular name in school, so I was one of, like, 20 Mikes.
It's my brother's name and my dad's name, but
yeah.
It's like, what is the most popular boy's name? It's probably that.
Michael was really popular then for a while, and then at the same time, Christina is a hugely popular name, and my mom has told me that if you would have been a girl, you would have been named Christina. I was like, you unoriginal assholes.
Twizzies!
You're not Christina.
No.
Very close.
You're Christy.
You're a variation. But you're Christy Christy, right?
She's like, just Christy, yeah. Christy with a K.
Christy Christy with a K. Yeah. Yeah. No, this would have been Christina, no. Classic.
My mom wanted it. My dad wanted, I think, Christina or Valentina.
So like glad Valentina. You're not a Valentina.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I like that.
So I became Christy because of Christy McNichol was on a show.
Lovely.
From Empty Nest. I know who Christy McNichol is.
Pointing at Mike in a podcast is probably great. It's like,
hey everybody, visual cues as much as possible. Okay, visual cues.
Hey, they're for us. I don't care. Are you cool?
Dog, I'm sorry, lady. I love you, but please.
But I'm okay. Don't turn it down. No.
What's happening?
Nothing.
Vanessa,
I'm making
Stephanie's
fun of her.
Cold.
She's always. I never get cold, and now she's all covered up in a blanket.
Listen.
That's for her modesty.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what that is.
That's what it is.
With the shirt that I'm wearing under it.
Well, thank you for having me back.
Thank you for being here. Caught you in between airplane rides, so.
I know. I just landed, and then I'm leaving again on Tuesday, so. And I have the blood clot to prove it.
Lovely.
No, I did. I just landed last night from Japan. I flew like 36 hours. The time difference was.
Did you have to like change planes and shit?
Yeah, I had to fly 3 planes.
Ew.
Yeah.
You flew them yourself? That's impressive.
I fly by myself. I flew my own plane. And
comedian, what did
you do,
pilot Japan? Extraordinaire.
I know you did Texas, because you said Texas. You've said
no,
you
yeah, because
Texas.
We flew out. Well, no, technically, it's to get back to New York is a whole other plane, but I spaced that out. But on the way down here, I flew New York to Miami, Miami, Dallas, Dallas, Tokyo.
Oh my!
Dallas,
so
Fort Worth
to Tokyo
from Dallas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Dallas Fort Worth Airport looks like a giant Mac store. That entire airport is like very high tech.
It's fine. It was nice. It was like going there. It felt fine. But when you came coming back from Japan
against the time change.
No, but I'm talking about the people. Like coming back from Japan after having been in Japan for 2 weeks or whatever it was that I was there. Like I can't tell you how different it feels.
Right.
How much more polite everyone is. It's like when I was in Tokyo, I was like Tokyo was like alternate dimension New York,
mm-hmm.
where like everything just worked out. Where like everything's fine, everyone's polite, everyone's nice to each other. They do their job. I'm sure there are parts of it I didn't see that are bad, but like the whole time, culturally, everyone's like super polite. And then mm-hmm. you fly back into Dallas, and it was like a whole bunch of entitled white people getting on our plane to Miami from Dallas to Miami, and everyone's like, oh, I'm not going to check my bag, and then oh, you got attitude, and I was just like walking by. I was like, this is very different than the people bowing and going, arigato gozaimasu. You know,
I get that. Like coming back from Italy, like
it was It was like shocking. We're assholes. We're jerks.
I was in a great mood.
Yeah, that's why everybody hates us.
Yeah, oh yeah. I was in such a great mood leaving Italy. The moment the plane touched, I hadn't even gotten off of the plane yet. The moment the plane touched down, I was like, this fucking place. Like,
you feel it. Yeah.
I was instantly angry.
I'm going to move to Japan at some point. I'm going to leave.
The indicator
would rule all over everybody because you're so much taller.
We'll find you in an instant.
Did you get people that like clapped when you landed? Because that's
that's annoying as balls. The clapping when you land is annoying, but we didn't have that. It was pretty smooth. Everything was fine. I mean, that's the whole thing. Like everything went as according to plan, and then so like there was so.
Whenever, I would just like to let our listeners know that Mike put his legs up on the couch and he's literally taking up half the couch.
But he's still not touching anybody.
But he's still not touching anybody. That's how big your couch is. But
it's a very nice couch.
It's just impressive. Like
it's very comfortable.
Well, we should give some backstory. So, Mike lives in New York, as we said from our last episode. But he went on just vacation.
Yeah, it was just a trip. I have friends that travel. My friend Karen travels all the time, and she's always a girl I used to work with. And she always puts groups together, and she goes to all these like nice travel places. She's unmarried, no children, so she has all this disposable income.
Okay.
She's not a mama, but she loves Merlot, or she likes whiskey. She plans all these travel things, and then she's always inviting me, but I'm always too broke to go.
Well, like that literally would stop a lot of people.
Yeah, so I'm always like, hey, thank you for inviting me, but I just. You know, keep inviting me. That's great. But I'm not saying no because I don't want to. I'm saying no because I can't.
Right.
And then she's like, the next trip is to Japan. And I'm like, I'm there for sure. Like I don't care if I have to go into debt and all that stuff. And I figured out a way. I saved up money. I worked my ass off. And I saved up a bunch of money, but I was ready to go.
Like a fucking grown up. Not like these idiot Instagram kids that are going bankrupt trying to go to
fucking
fire.
What bothers me are the Tinder girls that I have to date that
are. Did you Tinder in Japan?
I did. Had I known better, I would have used Tinder to find a tour guide.
Oh.
I would have found like someone to hang
out. That's really
smart. I would have used Tinder and been like, hey, I'm just looking for someone to show me around and also have sex with me, but mainly show me around. But the sex also.
Sex is an option. So I love to like live vicariously through people's Tinder. So like one of David's cousin is getting married tomorrow, to which I am the event coordinator,
right.
But a bunch of his cousins that live like all over the country are like flying in, and last night we were at the rehearsal dinner and I was like flipping through Tinder for one of his cousins.
Oh, you were driving his Tinder?
I was driving her Tinder, yeah.
What it's called when you use somebody else's
Tinder? Yeah, you're driving her Tinder.
I learned a new word.
Yeah. I was driving her Tinder, and there are shitty, like I know there's shitty fucking people in Miami, like just terrible like mm-hmm. options, but nothing is amplifies that more than looking at some through somebody else's Tinder.
I'll tell you what it is.
Terrible.
I don't see. First of all, it's terrible. But I also, like, I don't see guy profiles because I'm not looking for men profiles. So I don't know what male profiles are supposed to look like, quote unquote. You know.
Right. Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have another friend of mine that was like on Tinder also, and then he got a match with a dude.
Really?
Yeah, a dude swiped on him.
Well, if he matched, that means he swiped on the dude.
Well, we told them to swipe the dude because we were like, we want to see where this goes.
Oh, wow.
The guy's totally straight. He's like one of my brother's best friends. But we were like, no, you need to swipe this.
I get messages on OkCupid all the time. OkCupid doesn't have to, you don't have to match. So I get messages about once a week from someone on OkCupid.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I know you're not gay and, you know, I know you're straight.
Maybe you want to try it out.
But I just, and it's very complimentary. It's very nice. And I always respond with a, hey, thank you so much and good luck to us all. You know, like, you know,
good luck on your search.
I always say good, you know, it's like, hey, man, good luck out there. And thank you for all the nice words. And
thanks.
And I hope you find somebody great.
I mean,
that
is complaining.
Was that a yes or a no that he's going to let us drive his Tinder?
Can we drive your Tinder?
For Miami?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Awesome.
Sure. Yes.
Ain't no, because I'm leaving. So it's like.
Stay tuned. We'll report, we'll have a full report next week.
Yeah. You guys can drive Tinder. That's fine.
Yes.
And Bumble. Bumble's for the high class. Bumble's for the classy.
Bumble is like Tinder, but guys can't message girls first. Like the girl has to reach out first.
Well, it's basically just a dick pic blocking a little bit, mechanism.
Yeah, exactly. Because smart. You get so, apparently on Tinder, you get, I don't know.
As soon as you match, whoever can message. But I will say, that it is very frustrating because Tinder just makes you hate the opposite sex. It really does. I don't care how much you like a person, you just hate, like at a certain point you're just like, oh, these women are crazy, you know, like from Tinder where all the profiles start to look the same and all that shit, you know. And it's one of those things where like you have to wade through a lot of mess, you know. To
right. Well, so Bumble like eliminates that because the guy can't reach out to you first.
That's cool.
See, I did it pre app.
Oh yeah. Oh, I have so no idea what it's like to online date.
I did try to online date. I did Plenty of Fish and I was grossed out because it's free and I'll never do it again. Because that's just pure like people looking for ass. That's
yeah.
It. Plenty of Fish, that's sex. All it is. It's nobody that...
It's like Tinder.
Note to self, gotta sign up for Plenty of Fish.
It's free, so have fun.
Yeah, I mean, then, I feel like you also make... You get, like, swamp creatures on Plenty of Fish.
No.
You'd be surprised people.
I signed up for Farmers Only one time just to see what was on there. And boy, does it live up to the hype. Because they are farmers only. Like, there's not one black or Latino person on there.
Oh, my.
All older white women.
J Date.
Huh?
J Date.
Oh, my friend told me to sign up for J Swipe, and then which is like the Tinder version of.
Right,
but for J Date. And he's like, and I'm like, I'm not Jewish. He's like, they don't have to know that. And I'm like, whoa.
You could pass Jew. You could totally pass.
I'm like, already that's creepy. Like, I've never, like, I remember hearing my friends come up with stories to tell women. I'm just like, you know, that's going to be disappointing when you reveal to them that you're not a surgeon. You know, like, it's going to be disappointing.
I'm pretty sure that you going on J-Date and not being Jewish is a Lacey Chabert Hallmark, like, Lifetime, like, Hallmark. Like holiday movie.
A Hallmark movie?
That I recently saw. That like she pretends to be Jewish to get like a nice Jewish boy in New York.
Really?
Yeah. I watch way too much.
Well, there is a double standard. Like there's a lot of shit that a woman can do in terms of dating that's seen as, oh, how cute. And then it's like,
oh, no,
if a guy does it. It's like if a girl, if you switch the lead roles, one of them.
Vice versa.
One of them's a romantic comedy and then the other one's like a serial killer drama.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things that guys get away with that we can't get away with though.
Like
a lot.
Like,
for instance,
like I haven't experienced this, but I follow a lot. I follow.
What do you hear?
I follow Tinder nightmares. Guys take rejection like really terribly.
Absolutely.
On Tinder.
Absolutely.
Like they will like even if you just respond politely, like, hey, thank you for, you know, whatever, but I'm not into, you know, whatever, not my type, not interested, whatever. Even if you're like nice about it, they're like, well, fuck you. And like David's cousin showed me a screenshot that she has that she didn't respond to the guy right away. And he wrote her like a super cheesy pickup line and then another super cheesy pickup line. And then she didn't get back to it till like a day later. And by the time she had gotten back to him, he was like, well, then fuck you, you poop head. Literally.
You poop head?
I swear to God.
Was he five?
Or you weirdo poop head.
That had to have been like a teen boy driving.
No, probably.
Fake profile or some
amazing,
shit.
Though.
I'm going to text her to get the screenshot
feel like
of it.
I would respond to somebody calling me a poop head. Like, did you just call me a poop head?
Yeah, I think I just found my new Twitter bio, though. Weirdo poop head. Here we go. But I will
say, I'm going to text her to send
In all fairness, though, I will say, I'm not a yes all man, not all men guy, but I will say, because of my personal experience, women do not handle rejection well either.
I don't think nobody does.
Nobody handles rejection, but I think men are more used to it in terms of like going, like asking a girl it's okay, can I buy you a drink? No? Okay. Nice. Or like the second you say hello to a girl and they're like, I have a boyfriend. And you're like, whoa, I said hello and you said I have a boyfriend. Who's making the assumption here? No, like that's the classic stuff, but also. Like, I remember I was on a first date one time. Did I ever tell you the story?
I
probably told Neri.
You tell me a lot of stories.
But I went on this first date and actually it's happened to me a couple times, but the one time it went really bad was, it was like a first date. It was a setup. It wasn't an app or anything. It was a blind date, mutual friends. And I picked her up at her place, which I thought was weird. She was like, pick me up in my apartment. I was like, well, okay. You don't want to meet someone? Like, I could be a fucking psycho. or you could be a psycho.
Don't do that on the first date.
So already I'm like, this is weird. So I pick her up.
Yeah, mutual ground.
I took her out to
eat. Well, if you don't know the person, if it's a blind date.
I took her out to lunch, and I show up, and she has a drink in her hand.
Nice.
Well,
yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
No, 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 but she's... She's meeting me for the first time, and she's got like a can of beer in her hand.
Oh,
and I it's like
it was, that's what that was my next question. Like, what no. was she drinking?
And then it was like, yeah. And then I was, and you know, she opened the, and she wasn't attractive. I mean, it was like when I was. I hope the look on my face did not reveal the disappointment. You know, in my heart, you know, like because I felt bad for me. And I was like, oh, okay, all right, well, let's see. Maybe she's nice. Whatever. She was not nice. We go to the date. She proceeds to get drunk before the entrees show up. To the point where when she went to the bathroom, the waitress was like, is she okay?
At lunch?
At lunch.
In the middle of the day.
And it bothered me.
Was it a weekend or a weekday?
This is like a weekend.
How did you meet this person again?
We were set up by mutual friends.
Classy. Obviously, these friends do not
I would not be friends with that person.
It was, I found out later that the friends that set me up, they're like, oh, I thought she was nice. And I'm like, how do you know her? And she's like, and then she barely knew her. And I'm like, get the, what?
Why would someone do that to you? Then, did they not like you?
That's not the worst part of it, though. So then,
this gets better.
Let me, yeah. So then I go at a certain point in the date, you know, like, hey, I'm sorry. I hope I've been good company. I started sobering up. Like, I was like, cup of coffee, please. You know, like, because I had a beer and I was like, no, I'm going to be sober. She gets drunk. She orders a bunch of stuff on my dime. You know, like, I'm like, all right, whatever. And then at a certain point in the day, I'm just like, the entree was, she was like drunk enough to be cutting her food, chew a piece of it, and then some of it would fall out. She'd catch it and put it back in.
Oh, no!
Like it felt like it was like fell out of her lip. Like she just kind of was like, mwah, and put it back in.
Stop.
And I was like, ooh, sexy. And, but I was just so weirded out.
Good choice.
And
I was dancing to the other day when I was snapping you guys.
Oh, are we doing background music now?
Yeah.
Nice.
Might as well.
And then she goes, I go to her, I'm sorry, I hope I was good company, but I don't see this really going past today. So, you know, you're very sweet and seeing me, but I think that's it. And that's when she laid into me, like, she's like, you know what your problem is? And I was like, okay, drunk girl, tell me what my problem
is. The fact that you're wasted at lunch,
and
that's
then
my
I had
problem.
To drive her home.
Nice.
And the whole ride on the cars, she was trying to, like, win me back by telling me
you
all the
your
sex.
Car in New York?
No, this was in Miami.
Oh,
this is before
here. Okay.
I think I do remember this story.
This was years ago. And then I was on the way, I'm driving her back to her apartment, and I'm like, and I was just basically like quiet. And then she's listing all the sex things that she would do to me to, like, I guess, win me back or, like, win me over.
Okay.
And I'm just like, really? Okay. That, okay. Well, that too. You know, I just met you hours ago.
Did she say,
like,
you could put it in her butt?
No, but she just started, like, trying to be, like, vague, but then. You know, like, she's like, yeah, you could totally do it. And then list, you know, like, oh, you could have done this, that, and oh, I love to do this, that. Not to me, but she was saying a list of things that she likes to do. And I was like, good for you.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm like, hey, all right. And then the whole time I was just kind of quiet. I was like, just trying to get her home. And then I had to pee real bad.
So I was, to get down into her house.
So I dropped her off. And then she's like, I have to go to the bathroom. I need to use your bathroom. Because I was like, I really would have peed in my pants. I went to the bathroom. As I'm walking out of the bathroom, she's standing in the doorway, like, blocking me from leaving. And she's like, no, why don't you come sit on the couch with me for a little bit? And I'm just like, I really got it. So she goes to kiss me. She kisses me so hard, but she had, like, no lips. Aww. So her teeth hit my teeth. And I was like, what? And she tasted like everything she had eaten and drank was still like right there in her mouth. It was gross. Yeah, and then I did the whole.
So glad I just ate dinner right before you got here, Mike.
I had to pull like a ninja move out the door. And then I was just like, I was so skeeved out. I had to like shake it off walking to my car. Like I was like walking to my car. Now, you see, if I had done that to a girl, it would have been a crime.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, that would have been a crime.
That's true.
But like in that moment, I was, and then I go to my friends afterwards, and then they were like, "Oh, I barely know her," and I'm like, "Why the fuck?" That was the defense. I was like, "Well, you're wrong on both counts. You set me up with someone you barely know."
Yeah, that's not okay.
And then later on, of course, the story was different from her point of view. So,
well, this is the guy that my husband's cousin was talking
about. Yeah,
I'm gonna read it to everybody. It says, hi, I'm not gonna put her name out there because I don't want to put it on this. Hi,
hey girl.
Hey girl. How are you?
I'm
No answer. And then she like lets it go for a little bit. Then he comes back with, "What's cooking, good looking?"
Yeah. No, this kid's, this is a
winner,
child.
Winner.
This is a child.
And then like a couple hours later was like, well,
or like a 60-year-old man.
Or yeah, either or, could be.
Well, fuck you too then, you rude poop head.
Oh my god, I think we have an episode title.
You rude poop head.
You rude poop head. Okay, I'm gonna write it down.
I think she listened, so she'll know.
Mike Mercadal. And then this is the other one. You rude poophead with Mike
with Mike Mercadal. Yeah. No.
This is the other one that she got, but this one was like kind of funny. Was
that sounds
funnier
wait,
than poophead?
You rude poophead sounds like when they dub movies for cable.
Yeah.
Like it's like a line where it's like, you fucking shithead. It's like, you rude poophead.
Yeah. Like it's censored.
Like the, yeah.
And then the other one that she sends me is, which this one was like, it was, she said that the reason that she like hung on to it, she like thought it was funny because it was like, it was clever. So it was a guy that his name was Roberto. And
hello,
she was
Roberto.
Like, Roberto, you share a name with my car. I hope that's not a deal breaker. To that's which nice. He responds, well, you ride your car, so I would only ask for the same.
Oh my.
What?
That was fresh.
That was fresh. So
two thumbs up for being smooth.
It's kind of it's like one of those near misses for me because like you don't ride a car, you ride in a car.
Right.
If it would have been like you share a name on my motorcycle, I'd be like, well, you ride one, so
my horse, or something.
Yeah, something you actually ride, not ride in.
Correct.
Yeah, but it was nice.
It was a good try.
It was a good pull. So he leaned it in there. He slanted it in.
Yeah,
that's not bad. There's a lot of those. I stopped trying to. There's a lot. I will say the big difference between Tinder and Bumble is that, like, girls get a lot more activity online than men. Like.
Yes,
you know what I mean. Like unwanted.
That's how I met Nary.
Yeah,
that's exactly
unwanted
how I met
attention.
No, nope, because my friend was getting divorced, and so she changed her MySpace status from married to single, and then she had
MySpace.
Like an influx of messages.
Absolutely,
of the,
yeah.
Yo, ma, what up, girl? Like all that madness,
yo,
and then
ma.
in that yo ma mess was Nary.
To your friend?
To my friend. So then I was the one going through everything, reading it, and like, oh, haha, these are so funny. And I'm like, oh, look, this guy's like a comedian. So I'm like, I'm never going to remember his name. So I wrote...
What was his name?
Exactly. I was like, I'm never going to remember this name. So I wrote to him as my friend.
No!
Yeah, I was like, hey, so my friend thinks you're funny, so you should like check out her profile. And then that's like, he messaged me.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
that's kind of adorable, actually.
And he didn't know, like, he didn't know that it was me that had written as my friend.
That is the most innocent MySpace thing I've ever
it
heard.
It was.
Because usually
but his
it's pretty
message,
gross.
Yeah, no, it was really gross.
MySpace was.
But the reason I even wrote back to him was he was like, oh, I read your profile. Like, it was like a detailed.
You were into it, huh?
Because it wasn't, it was the only thing that wasn't ghetto.
Just admit that you were into him.
It was good English.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't
yo ma, what up girl.
I
put it in a little bit?
I will say this, like bad, if I were single, like bad grammar, like even texting improperly is a deal breaker for me.
Honestly, that's a deal breaker for me too. I get a lot of shit.
You don't know how to use a comma, like I don't have time.
I get a lot of shit from my friends that are just trying to fuck, you know, because they're younger and I'm always like, well, I was, you know, we've all been there. I've been there. And it's like, fine, that's good, but that's not really what I'm looking for now.
Right.
You know?
10 years ago, fine, but
yeah, like I just got over like, or just recently ended the friends. Did we talk about her last time I was on here? The Dominican girl.
Yeah,
I was seeing. Maybe. I don't think you gave too much detail about
it. It was a friends with benefits situation.
Yes, yes, you did. Yeah.
And then I stopped. I cut it off. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, looking back on it now, I was like, I shouldn't have given up all that easy
pussy.
Access to sex.
Yo, mom.
Well, that's the thing. And so I had to explain it to my friends. I was like, I don't like if. I'm probably going to get a lot of shit for this, but it's like sex is not the finish line.
People don't talk to us, so it's fine.
Yeah, right? I don't like sex isn't really a finish line. You know, like a lot of people view that as the finish line for
right, like the goal.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, then you got a lot of time after that to just sit around and wander around the end of the race.
It's
you know,
definitely like not the finish line because like some people get that out of the way, like right away.
Right away.
So, on the first date.
The longest
on the first date.
I've
so.
Done. And some of the longest relationships I've ever been in have had sex on the first date. I mean, I don't see that as being a sign or symptom.
No.
How you go about it. Then,
well, yeah.
Maybe is different, but But like the but the sex isn't the finish line. So on OkCupid, or I've been online for a while because I was on Match.com like when it was still creepy to do, which that was another hurdle to get over. But I was like, you know, I was just on because I didn't want to date anyone I worked with, and I didn't want my friends to set me up ever again.
Right?
Well, yeah,
ever, ever. And so I was like, that's a good way to be objective because then you can just stop talking to people.
Yeah.
And you don't owe them anything. And if someone has bad, like I remember us, or one word answers, like being coy in text just sounds like you're being an asshole.
A little bit.
You know what I mean? Like sending one word answers.
Because you
and,
can't read tone.
Yeah, right. You can't read tone. So you have to be able to express yourself with your, you're like, use your words. Use your words, lady.
The worst thing you could ever write is K.
K, yeah, no, K is bad.
K is like K. An I don't give a shit response. K and the thumbs up is an K? I don't give a shit response.
Thumbs up is thumbs up. I do. Thumbs up. I do.
Thumbs up is cool.
No, I know that. I know how you mean thumbs up, but a lot. I know a lot of people that I interact with. Thumbs up.
Well,
means
because
like,
I thumbs you up in person too.
Be like, thumbs up is like I'm acknowledging what you said, but I don't really care about it.
No, there's times that I
no, that's the K or that's the cool. Like if I say if cool is just the acknowledgement, like copy that.
I used to tweet. I used to.
I'm gonna start using
lot.
Copy that.
You know
I
that.
Used to get mad at Nairn
over now. A lot.
Oh yeah.
What?
I used sweet a lot.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I used to get mad at Nairn. I'm like, did you see my text message? You haven't responded, and now he has like a preset.
He has
message
the red receipt.
No, I know, but he has like a
he
preset
has a red
message
receipt on like a 65 year old man.
But he has a preset message, like a shortcut that says your message has been read and received.
Oh,
oh yeah. There's
because
one...
I want him to respond to my even if I just get a K,
or if
I just want to know
K,
that he
like,
saw it.
If he types K. It'll change it to like a shortcut of read and receive.
Mm-hmm.
I have one that for my email. Like if I type it, because I don't have to type in my whole email at whatever. One of the shortcuts I do instead of like one of the basic ones is on my way. It actually changes it all the way. I write email and then dot or dash. I'm sorry, and that'll change it to my
your full
my
email,
email dash email or email y or email g depending on which one.
Because I use them so much.
Yeah.
I just put like their initials and it pops up their hashtag.
Yeah. We're all you got to use your noodle. Work smarter, not harder.
Does she miss me?
She just misses attention. Because
so,
I don't give it to her.
You should go to Japan. Here's why.
You should go to Japan. Jeffrey, for the listeners, Jeffrey wants Mike to convince Christy to go with Jeffrey to Japan.
But I thought so that was the plan for Jeff's 40th birthday.
It is the plan for
but
his
why don't
40th
you want to go?
Does he
want
to go sooner?
Stop it.
I want to go. I'm just like, there's other places I'd rather go.
All right. List the places because I have arguments for everyone.
I want to go back to London.
You want to go back to London?
You've already been there.
You've already been there. You can't argue a new place with an old place.
But I love it so.
But I have to kind of agree with that.
You can't argue a new place with an old place because you can, like, you've already done it. Like,
are you
going to
spend the whole time in London?
No, I'm gonna go
to
Wales. I
want
to go to Cardiff. I want to go. I didn't get to see enough.
I've been to Spain twice, and I don't think I've seen enough either time. I've only hung out in like the same area, but I would definitely go to like 10 other places before I would go back to Spain.
I'm just saying, if you can love a place, but you don't know if you love this place more because you've never been. You may love Japan more, over a place you've already been for sure.
Yeah,
that's off the list. So London, no. Where else would you rather go?
Italy.
You've never been to Italy.
Italy. Go to Italy.
My parents are in Italy.
The one thing I will say...
I'm so jealous of them.
You just came back from Italy.
So?
The one thing I will say is that Italy's great.
I would have stayed there.
If you would have just like uprooted your life.
I'm done. Yeah. I have plenty of family. I have places to stay.
I have enough here.
It's cool.
They'd be like, you just like mommy went out to buy a pack of cigarettes one day and never came back.
Totes.
Yeah. The one thing I will say about Italy is that it's like, depending on where you go in Italy first, it's Europe, you know, so it's going to feel familiar. Japan it's like a different universe. It's so different. And it's hard to explain what you're seeing because all this, you know, everything means something. All these crazy signs you're seeing have words written on them in another language you can't read. You can't decipher anything. It's like mind boggling, like so much stimulus. And the whole thing is made like it's made to be like an experience. Like everything is polite. People there, they welcome you. They, you know, it's great.
I will tell you,
Italy's great too, but like Japan has every different thing to offer.
Yeah, and like I will tell you that there is pros for me that I do want to go to Japan. Mm-hmm. We did Thailand because my best friend got married there. She's from there, and we went for 14 days. And we did Phuket, Chiang Mai, and Bangkok.
Right.
And it was okay.
Well, Tibet. Thailand is
Thailand
like
was just
is
okay. Hedonism. Every time
no,
that
but
I've,
Thailand
it's fucking hedonism.
But Thailand is where you go, like, it's not fully functioning
at all.
They also say that like if you have a very small budget to go to Thailand.
Well, it's $33. It's 33 baht for every one American dollar.
Right, like you can stay at a 5-star luxury
that's
resort.
What we did.
For like
well,
five,
it's different
for like,
depending on what
like
it is because
$35 a night.
No, because it's like 108 yen to a dollar.
Okay.
So it's like everything. So everything is just like zeros are the two zeros at the end are cents. You know, we kind of did it that way, and then so what? Ultimately,
down.
You it's what it's down. Worth. Like, what can you get for that money? And it, I don't like. I have an issue with people traveling places to take advantage of their poverty. You know what I mean? Like when we travel to Nicaragua, like yeah. you can do a million things on for like $5, but mm-hmm. it's also because that country is super poor.
Well, we got in, like not in trouble, but we got like a lot of problems in Thailand because.
Huh?
That's why Nary's parents live there.
It's because
their income is from here, and they.
It's got a, you, it goes a lot farther, mm-hmm. but then you can you work in the system, but it's also man, you know, Nicaragua has tons of. Poor areas and it's a shame because it's a beautiful country and there's so much opportunity there.
Nary won't take me.
Huh?
I'm dying for Nary to take me. He won't take me.
You would have to go to the resorts, I think.
Yeah. That's what I tell him. I'm like, he doesn't want to go because he doesn't want to like stay with family. I'm like, we don't have to stay with family.
Yeah, you don't pay money.
Like,
but also then you're like,
I want to go on vacation.
You're tagging on to like, but I don't like Tokyo was like a utopia.
And I was like, that's the reason that I really do want to go because, like, I was sending you stuff. I was like, check this out. Because I love...
You knew a lot.
We've done a lot of research into Tokyo. And we watch a lot of travel shows. And yeah. I like... And Tokyo is basically the crazy geek meccas of, like, the
it's
randomest
like the future.
Shit.
Well, here's...
It's exactly, it is.
Here's what I'll tell you.
It's, the future, Conan?
It's a fully functional city. Like, you can't go in, let's say going to New York and saying it's the theater capital of the world. It's also the capital of finance and the capital of, you know,
New York is
homeless people. You know, like there's a lot of different things going on for each city. So like calling it a geek mecca, that's a very small portion of the whole thing that has to offer because there's history. There's all types of culinary things. There's all types of different experiences there and stuff that you won't even know. Until you get there, like one of the things I really wanted to do that I didn't get to do was to go to a baseball game because mm-hmm. baseball is huge in Japan and it's they're fanatics.
It is
the only like while I was there, I was expecting a lot more reaction to my beard. I found out the Japanese hate beards because it represents a criminal element and people who are anarchists.
No one
are beard people because it shows that you don't fit into the society and you're not part of you're not trying to advance the culture and all stuff because that's what it is. It's basically like an entire group of people where everyone's like looking out for the betterment of the group.
See, and that's the thing. So, and maybe this is where my problem lies because I was so jaded by Thailand.
They're two completely
because
different
because in Thailand it was a lot of.
Are you saying all Asians look the same?
No. It's
is that
racist.
What you're saying? That they're all the same?
No.
I see what you're getting.
How
at.
Dare you?
No. I know you're winking at me. You're seeing nodding. I'm just putting it out. No, she's not doing that.
Chiang Mai was the best experience because it was the little like more suburban, like it was the little village and all that stuff. Phuket and Bangkok, they're right when they portray it in the movies. It is like
it's gross.
It is gross. It is hell. It's hedonism. Everybody is out. There were so many people out to get you in a way. Like, everybody was there to, like, you had to be very, very careful with who you spoke to, who you got close to, who, what cars you got into, like, what cabs you got into. Because everybody was there to make a buck off of you or trick you into giving the money or taking you to another place, like, taking advantage of the people. So I'm very weary.
Japan is the opposite of that,
man. And that's
man.
The thing is, I'm
man.
Very weary of traveling to
I'm going
to
tell you,
like, a lot
I'll
of
tell you
areas
exactly
because
what happened.
Of it now.
We were every, first of all, I spoke a little Japanese enough to, like, ask directions and communicate and figure some things out. No, I wish I'm gonna learn all of it. I need to learn all of Japanese.
Okay. I think you're gonna learn all Japanese.
I'm gonna.
It's like
no.
Really, really.
No, fuck you. I'm
Mike has
all of
a goal.
It.
All of
yeah.
it.
I mean,
I'm gonna learn all of it.
You know,
but,
God,
no.
God bless.
I also, I mean, I was learning Portuguese. I like languages. I was learning Portuguese. I speak a little French. I was learning Italian. I'm trying to speak German. That's fucking hard.
It sounds angry.
Yeah. Italian's fun.
but Italian sounds like you're making fun of Italians.
It does.
Like when you're talking Italian, like when you say you're like arancio, and it's like that's how they say it, but it sounds like you're making fun of them saying it. So you have to basically say it like you're mocking them,
like the Family Guy.
Yeah, you have to sound like Family Guy.
Bibbidi-bobbidi-bobbidi.
But in Japanese, like, literally, there were times where everything's on trains, and I'm used to that. But I was traveling with three women and me. So it was like,
you were the muscle?
The worst.
The bodyguard.
My God, it was the worst. Because,
was it bad?
Yeah, imagine asking one woman what she wants to eat. There was three of them, and two of them were pretty picky. So I was, just, at a certain point,
How do you go to Japan and be picky? Like,
you can't travel and be a picky
eater. You
can. Apparently, they can't. Because I mean,
McDonald's is everywhere, but
No. But fuck that. I'm not going to McDonald's.
No, absolutely not.
Actually, I did go to McDonald's to try the specific country.
Did you try the Black Burger?
That's not in Japan.
I thought it was in Japan.
No.
Oh,
no.
Just kidding.
Black Burger, but they did have like a fish, filet of fish, mm-hmm. like a shrimp filet of fish sandwich.
Cool. Okay.
A ginger pork burger that was really good.
Japan gets all the franchise like cool stuff, like whenever there's like something in the news, like oh, so and so is gonna have this now, or like the matcha pudding that is apparently at Starbucks.
Well, it came from there.
Exactly, but like it's still only there.
Matcha's
like,
Japanese, Christine.
Yeah, I know.
But like,
hey,
they get all
the candle I just bought smells like matcha.
Yeah, but
relatable.
But they put all
it
that
is super relatable.
Things,
I
it's like here
chose the right candle.
We don't get anything new, like even from our day to day culture here.
Yeah,
we
get the McRib.
No. Hey, we get unicorn fraps, all right?
Don't you talk bad about the McRib.
The McRib is great. But what I was going to say about Japan... What I was going to say about Japan is that, like... I was traveling, and, like, one of my friends was like... this girl back near, she's like, oh, I'm traveling, and it's just me and three women there. She's like, ooh, daddy. And I'm like, no. Dad. Because I was... I was the one who had all the directions. I was the one coming up with all
the
plans.
He's the one that could communicate with everyone.
I'm the one that could communicate with everyone. I was literally, like... I was dad. I got so pissed. At a certain point... I had a dad moment where they were like, what are we doing now? And I'm like, I don't want to make a decision for the next 3 hours. Solve the problem.
I feel like that all the time.
Like I wasn't here like that. Like I had a total dad meltdown. And I told him
Can we say something that might not be?
Okay, we have a question.
We have an observation.
Did that happen at any point near or around the time when you guys had to get on that train and there was a video of the being on the train?
What did I tell you?
Yeah. No, it wasn't
Mike
that.
Mike and I talked about it before you talked about here.
It wasn't that because
we
one
saw
of my
that
friends
we were like,
videos herself a lot.
There was like a point where we were like,
she's the one
we're watching your videos.
She should just full on vlog.
That's what I told her.
She should be a travel vlogger and be done with it.
I told her. Yeah, I told her.
But we saw that video and we're like, ooh, Mike looks like he's getting
Mike looks
done.
Like he's a little over it.
No, because at that point, I'll tell you what it was. At that point, we're traveling in between cities. We were going from like Kyoto to Osaka. And I was like, if these assholes get lost and I get on a train and they don't get on, or they get stuck in between train cars and they don't get off, I'm not coming back for them. I'm not. This isn't the fucking army, man. I'm leaving a man down. I don't give a shit. Yeah, you find your own way. Look, we're all adults.
What happened to No Man Left Behind?
Huh?
What happened to No Man Left Behind?
Those are women, and I don't give a fuck. No, just kidding.
Oh, my God.
Dude, you just sounded just like my brother.
Yeah. No, but, like, the point of it is that I was so frustrated with having to be the fucking wrangler that I was...
Welcome to parenthood.
Yeah. No, but that's the thing. Parenthood, I'm not one of those.
Right.
And that was a choice. And so for me to have to do it with
hence
like friends,
the welcome.
Yeah, but for me having to do it like in a situation, I just kind of like got a little burned out of the dad thing. That wasn't the time though.
Oh.
That was fine. That was me just kind of like rolling my eyes and fucking around because they finally had a moment because you're not supposed to be loud in public. Like that's common decency. Like those people you see having loud conversations, Latinos.
Yeah.
Well, if you see, if you're having a lot,
every person in this room,
I'm gonna get kicked out of Japan.
No, or you shut the fuck up, right? Like you adapt.
That's not possible.
No, adapt. It's rude for you not to adapt. I fucking hate that loud Hispanic shit, especially when it's like not apply,
some
like
of us
not
don't
appropriate.
Notice that we're doing it,
true. But when you get called out on it, remember.
Well, when I get called out of it, then yeah. But if I don't realize I'm doing it, then
I got no. But they told me I was rude because I was like, hey guys, you know. And then someone was like, oh, that's rude. because it not on this trip. It wasn't this trip that happened. I remember I was like, I was walking around with a group of people and we were like in a church and they would start making noise. I'm like, yo, we're in a church. And they're like, don't be rude. I'm like, no.
You're
the one that's being rude. I'm helping you not look like assholes right now.
Don't be the asshole Americans.
But don't be the asshole anybody's. It doesn't matter. You're just being loud. Like, come on. It's not about Latino or otherwise. This is not the place for that. Because when we went to bars and shit, we went to restaurants, make all the fucking noise you want. It's just Japan. You don't talk on a train. There's a bunch of people going to work.
On trains?
No, I mean, it was just quiet because when we were traveling, it was like rush hour time and it was packed.
Have you seen Death Wish?
No.
A lot of crazy.
But that's old New York stuff.
You know the movie on the episode?
Which movie?
The Death Wish one that, like, with the girl and the Japanese.
I don't remember. I'm talking about Charles Bronson Death Wish.
Yeah, there's one of them that starts with.
There's 1,000 Death Wishes.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I can't remember which one.
But there's like a Japanese businessman that they move from Japan to either Chicago or New York, and they're on a train, and he remembers like things that happened in Japan because nobody would talk about it. And like people just stay silent on the trains and stuff like that, and like people got away with like really weird, creepy sexual stuff
on the train in Japan.
Yeah, in Japan because the women didn't want to expose themselves.
There are women only cars at certain times, and but that's been like really cut down upon. Like it's really weird. Like I felt very safe. Well, I feel very safe everywhere, but I felt very safe there in terms
really,
of
though,
like
who's gonna
mess with you
when you're head and shoulders above everyone.
No. It wasn't just that. It was like everyone is where we were was just out for everyone just social, like they get that they're part of a bigger picture. Like Americans, when I got back to Dallas and I saw these people like me, I'm like, yo, your seat is not going to get to the destination faster than anyone else on this plane.
Did you fly United?
So calm the fuck down. No, I flew United down from New York, but this is on American. I was like. And the way they handled it was fine. At a certain point, like the guy in front of me, in the row in front of me, the head, he was being a real dick. Like just a real asshole to the staff and the flight staff. And then the head of the flight staff comes back and is like, hey, sir, we've had some complaints from our staff that you're being very rude. Are we going to have a problem? And I was like, oh, shit, get my phone ready.
have to pay for flights ever again.
Get this video ready. Because I thought I was like, this guy's being a dick. And then so he's like, no, I was just saying, he like backpedaled and stuff like that. Rather than saying, I'm sorry, let's just get to where we're going. I'll behave. Because you know you're being an asshole when you're being an asshole. And then, but that's a problem. Like, you're not allowed to get away with shit because you don't recognize.
There's been a handful of times where I genuinely don't think that I'm being anything, and Dave will be like, "That was really rude," and I'm like,
"Yeah, you were probably if someone else is saying you're rude, period."
But David thinks
you're period,
I'm rude,
period, period. No. Okay. You're like, hey, you'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, my bad. That's it. That's the end of the set. But when people like, start defending their rudeness, that's when shit blows out of proportion.
You rude poop head.
You rude poop head.
But you traveled American over there, so you didn't do. Was your flight staff American or Japanese?
Both. It was a mix.
Because
on the way back was on the way from but this was from Dallas to Miami, so it was all American. Yeah. And they were well. So what happened was that at the middle of the flight, the guy came over and asked and talked to him again. And then and he hadn't said anything, but you could see that the guy was like, the titled old white guy, you know, whatever.
Shocker.
But it was like the long string of people being assholes on the plane. It just happened to be that guy was right in front of me. I go to the back of the plane. I was going to the bathroom. I was waiting for the thing to open up. I saw the guy. I'm like, hey, your people are right. That guy wasn't being an asshole. And if you need me to, and like I was being a dick to your staff. He's like, thank you for telling me that. And I was like, yeah, they're not wrong. He's being a jerk. I just wanted to, you know, we'll get where we're going. He may have a few words. I overheard him say something about talking to you before the end of the flight when he gets off the plane. So he may have some words with you then. And I'll just be ready for it. And he's like, okay, if I need you to sign something, will you sign something? And I'm like, hell yeah.
More important question is, do you fit in an airplane bathroom?
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Bathroom's not bad. Depending on the size of the plane. But like those seats are getting smaller and smaller. It's not really just me. I literally, my knee, like I couldn't fit. It's not even about like being heavy.
Adding more rows.
I don't know how like super heavy people fly. I mean, just impossible. I was telling you guys before we started rolling that I had to go to the doc. I went to urgent care today because I couldn't. I had like a nerve thing from being on the plane for so long that my leg, like I literally felt like I couldn't move my big toe, and they're like, it's a sciatica thing from being sitting on your nerve, pinching the nerve for a long time, and they're like, have you been traveling recently? And I'm like, oh boy, have I, you know, a lot. But whatever. But Japan, I will say, is the opposite of that, where like everyone is on board with the greater good. You know,
like, I'm like, I've reached it. Like, of all the places, like, I'm a big, like, I'm a huge anime fan. I'm a big, like, I watch ridiculous amounts on Netflix of way too many Japanese, like, teen little dramas. Yeah. And I sit there and I read the freaking... I watch subtitles because I basically have no idea what's going on. Good Morning Cal is one of my favorite freaking things.
The one thing I will tell you is that...
Good Morning Cal.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard Cal.
It was an anime that they made into, like, a live-action little, like... Like a show. It's like a 2 to 3 season little show.
But that's, so I will tell you this, there's a lot of that like weeaboo culture, the neckbeard shit, where they're just like, I'm obsessed with Japan, and then but there, it's all the Japanese that experience that they have is of anime, and that is not, that's like saying everything you know about America you learn through SpongeBob, you know, like,
which is the worst example, because like, my kids not allowed to watch SpongeBob.
No, but even, or it's like saying you learned everything from Cartoon Network. You know, like, that's all, America's all about Cartoon Network. It's like, what? That's like, so it's like kind of a narrow focus. There's a lot more to Japan than that. So, yes, it does include that. But I think that if you're going just for those things, you'll have an experience of just that as well. If you open it up a little bit, I went for the food.
And that's another part of it. Because
History.
I'm intrigued. Well, I know.
Japan. I guess I just went to go
see
everything.
Please don't get mercury poisoning from eating so much sushi.
Huh?
Don't get mercury poisoning from eating so much sushi.
Too late.
Well, the thing is that they don't it's not even sushi over there. They just make, like, interesting meals. Like, there is, like, so much that they put together that you wouldn't even think was.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. A lot of places, so that mercury thing is actually an old military. It's like a real, like, a kind of a, I don't want to throw you under the bus, I'm sorry, it's probably just repeating something you heard, but it's very bigoted in the sense that that was the experience of like World War II soldiers. So when they, because the factories over there before they had all that stuff from the military, they were like dumping mercury into the water and all stuff, but it was us doing it also. So when they were like, oh, I'm not going to eat, they eat raw fish.
See,
and they were getting they were getting sick. The Japanese were getting sick from eating that from the factories because they eat the raw fish like that. So then they're like, oh, all that, you're going to get mercury poisoning from the fish. Like, that actually comes from like World War II anti-Japanese sentiment. So,
I didn't know that. All I knew was that Jeremy Piven got mercury poisoning and he claimed it was because he ate too much sushi.
You can get it from eating too much fish.
Everything I learned on TMZ. You know, like,
I know they have like amazing things, well, like amazing recipes and like that I've seen, and like there, like there's these, like, which, because I go to a lot of festivals and I go to a lot of stuff, so like I watch way too much television, so I was obsessed with like the original Iron Chef, like the one that,
oh yeah, yeah, that it was Japanese,
that it was full-on Japanese, and there was things that would come out that I'm like, that is like, looks, how I wouldn't have even known that this vegetable existed.
Sure. Like, I had you guys are gonna love this, cockle sushi. Cockles are like a type of oyster or clam, like one of these like barnacle things that they stick. And but yeah, they had different. That was something I had sea urchin. I had uni.
That's supposed to be poisonous, no?
No.
It's the blowfish that's poisonous.
I had that too. That's all propaganda too. That's all scam. A lot of the stuff that people know about Japan here is like is exaggerations of either TV tropes or World War II thinking or 80s thinking when it was like the Japanese economic boom and the technological boom. Like, a lot of what they know is that. But and a lot of it's true. You know, generalizations are true because they're generally true. But like, a lot of it is based on misinformation. So like, when you go there, the restaurant, like, you're not going to get crazy shit like that. But to them, like, well, the first place we went to was like this, it was like equivalent of like a gastro pub, you know, whatever. And I was like, what do you recommend? And he pointed out a couple things, and one of them was this horse meat carpaccio. Mm-hmm. It was horse meat. Meanwhile, and someone will hear that and be like, yo, that's fucking crazy, that's gross. Meanwhile, I had that in France. In France, they sell that
in the States, but everywhere else,
it's horse.
It's just like tougher beef.
Yeah, it's like eating deer venison. It's like it's like venison. Like if people who hunt, it's the same shit. And like meat's meat, you know. So people would think that's weird, but to them, it's like, oh, that's what we got here. That's what it is. But to an American, like we were making jokes like the redneck traveler. We were just doing our southern was like, oh, y'all, I can't read a thing. It's all just pictures. You know, like we were doing that all the time. Like, y'all, you expect to see so many Japanese people here? And then it's like, yeah, it's fucking like we were doing that because it's not unimaginable to have some asshole white person travel to Japan and be like, yo, you know, the fish is raw here. They don't even cook it. You know, like you would.
Well, it's like looking at the TripAdvisor. Like if you ever go on TripAdvisor and you look at the reviews.
Yeah, some of them are stupid as fuck.
Or like here, but like Miami hotels. Or no, it was like in like, I think it was Consuma or something like that. I was very offended by the fact that the staff spoke mainly Spanish.
You're in fucking
Mexico.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing in Japan. Like, one of the girls at the beginning was like, I didn't understand a word he said. I'm like, yeah, because it's fucking Japan. You know what I mean? Like, if you go to the United States and you're from Japan and you go to Miami and no one's going to speak Japanese.
And no one's going to speak to you in English either.
There's a shit ton of people in Japan that actually do speak English.
A lot of people. Look, I'll tell you, this is how nice the people were. At one point, I go to like ask the guy what train, because it's not like the MTA in New York. It's not like one train. Mm-hmm. There's different companies and they're actually train systems. They run on like train times and this one runs to this terminal. So you have to kind of know a little bit more. Google tells you everything. Or there's
so it's privatized. It's not like by the government.
No, there is a government line. There's also private lines. And then there's also subways.
Yeah,
I would
totally get lost.
Yeah. And
already lost.
Yeah. And it's like so it's a lot of trains are. It had to do with the fact that during the end of imperialism, they adopted a lot of British things. So, like, trains being a very big influence from the Victorian British government. So that's why Tokyo has all these trains. Also, it's easy to get around. But we show our passport, like, hey, where? I'm like, I had to learn the phrase, like, where, you know, doko desu ka, where's this, you know? And so I was just kind of pointing at stuff. And he didn't know the English words to tell me the answer, but he understood me. And he goes, hold on. He closed up shop. He closed up his little ticket, his little security booth. He walked me over to the stand where I had to put money in. Then he walked me through the gate, and then he pointed at platform, and he held up some numbers. He go to this platform, and then he showed me on the thing. And he wasn't rude. But he didn't say a word to me, and he wasn't smiling. He was just showing me where everything was, and I was like, "This is the nicest guy on the planet."
It's amazing,
and that happened multiple times.
The smallest things, I'm like, "Oh my god, you're so nice."
That happened multiple times, and I remember at one point in Osaka, we were going back to I had to take the subway back to our hotel, and we were trying to find our way around. And this old lady comes up and hears us speaking English. She's like, "Do you guys need any help?" And I'm like, nice. Oh, we're just buying snacks because we're going back to the hotel. And she's like, oh, no, whatever. And it's like, let me show you a place where you can go eat. So she takes the girls were still in the store. So I'll go down with you. And then she showed me, she's having a lovely conversation. And she's like, you know, the home cooked food is better. If you want, I'm going to cook. Come over. I'll cook you guys dinner. And it bothered me that my jaded American mind was like, this is crazy.
This old samurai lady's gonna cut me into pieces.
Yeah, like I'm gonna walk into her apartment. There's gonna be Yakuza people there stealing my kidneys. You know, and I felt
that's how Mike woke up in a bathtub.
Yeah, I got like big old stitches in my back in a bathtub with a note, you know, that I can't read because it's in Japanese. I'm like,
it's just a doodle.
Yeah, y'all, I can't read this. What am I doing by my kidneys? And I thought, you know, this
is like a ransom note to your parents.
Yeah,
we do apologize if we're offending anyone.
Yeah. Offending who? Redneck white people?
Them too.
Yeah. I mean, but what I'm saying is that, like, at that moment, I felt bad that I was, had an American sensibility because I'd always wanted that moment of the local, like, person. Right. If I had been by myself, ironically enough, I would have done it. But I didn't want to speak for three women. I still had that kind of mentality.
They probably would have, like,
run for the hills.
They would have.
I feel like they would have been mad, but like, you accept accepted a stranger's invitation?
Yeah, no. And the people I was traveling with did not seem like the type. And I was like,
did you tell them after the fact?
After the fact, yeah, I told them. I was like, yeah. And then she, and then right away, they were like doing like, they made the no faces, like, and I was like, and in my mind, I was like, man, I feel bad for she, because I rejected her old lady invitation to food. Like, I have an abuela. I know how that's got to hurt her.
I know.
You know, I felt.
She's like, he looks hungry.
I felt super
that
guilty.
That poor old lady, all she did was want to feed you, and you thought she was a ninja and was going to cut you into pieces.
She didn't think he was a ninja. She thought that. He didn't think she was a ninja. He thought she was like the grandma of the ninjas.
Yeah, she was the ninja grandma.
Like on Daredevil.
And
I watch comic book things.
No, but my real thing was, if I had been by myself, I would have done it no problem. And another time, a lady came up to me and was like, do you need any? She heard us speaking English and she was just having a conversation, a chat with us on the train, which we thought was very weird because you don't talk to people on the train. But she asked us, like, what did you guys do? And where are we going? And so my other two friends, we got separated in the group because it got full. But I could hear them talking. They were having a lovely time, just chatting it up. And this lady just wanted to practice her English. And that was it. It was so nice. It was so nice. And I got to see so much cool shit. And I ate everything. I ate all of Japan. All of Japan.
It's not there anymore.
I believe you.
Japan, yeah. I think the horse meat thing was really good. The taco balls, takoyaki, that I bought the pan to make them.
They had those down here in I can't remember the name of it. Is the Japanese Gardens?
They have those?
Mm-hmm.
I got
the festival that just recently passed, they just recently had the festival when we went to it, and they had those there.
I went to the city where that's their thing. Like, they all have, like, they're known for that. And they had, like, octopus, like, everything in Japan is also cute. Like, even the CPR signs on the train, because I was traveling with a bunch of nurse medical people. And we were like, this is the CPR sign. I had, like, a cute little bear pushing on the chest of a rabbit or something like that. And I was like, this is a very cute
TV
way to show death.
Like, really, really crazy, like, Japanese game shows. And
Ichiban. Lipstick from it.
No. Again, all of that is kind of exaggerated. It's all exaggerated. But there is that stream of information. Like, there's always, like, a picture-in-picture of reactions to things. We in Tokyo, we had the TV on and we were watching, like, some news things that were just, like, you know, Trump doing something stupid. So they had him. They talked about it.
Also, Trump's a thing over there, too. Great.
Yeah, no. They know about Trump over there. And it was also, they were talking about, like, North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed that video of, like, North Korea explode. It's literally across. I was the closest to North Korea that I've ever been.
You can see it from your window.
I can see it from my house.
You can see Russia from your house.
And it was like this, but I would see the news and they were talking about it and they were showing clips, and the way they had the information displayed was also pretty cute. I was like, this is a pretty cute way to show the end of the world.
Japan is cute.
It's all cute. But and that's 100%
true. Hello Kitty, read you the news in the morning.
Hello, Kelly.
Hello, Kitty. Read
Kelly Ripa is even cuter in Japan. And
Kelly.
Yeah.
She's no longer allowed to use that name.
I'm having...
She's no longer allowed to use that name. Her name is Barbie Blanks or something now.
What?
Sorry. Who? You went into wrestling for me. Kelly.
No.
Oh, okay.
I said Killy.
Oh, I heard you say Kelly. And
I'm
like, she's not allowed to
use
that name.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I have no idea, Mike. It's okay. We can have our own conversation. What the fuck is happening?
Not here.
You know what? That's the best thing to do.
Yes, it is.
Drop inside jokes to the people who are not inside.
She's listening. She knows.
Okay. So she says that I hear Kelly, who used to be a wrestler on WWE.
And
I said, well, she's not allowed to use that name anymore because they let her go. She's now Barbie Blanks.
Barbie Blanks?
That sounds like a porn name.
Those all sound like porn names.
That's maybe what she's doing now.
Oh, I didn't get to see Japanese wrestling either.
You didn't sumo wrestle?
No, they didn't. No, they weren't like, having a tournament.
No, forget about sumo wrestling. Like, the Japanese wrestling
professional
scene
wrestling
is insane.
Yeah.
What's coming over here from Japan
is tiny
top
compared
of the
to
line.
Yeah.
No, and it is like,
yeah, compared to what you saw.
Ridiculous what they're doing, that like they come over here and they blow people away.
Well, the thing is that everything there is very regimented. Like, everyone has their plan, like their routines, and everything is very rehearsed and practiced and all that stuff. And so, like, there's like culturally, like they're trained. And from little, like, because I remember we actually got to see, like, we went to some botanical gardens thing. Again, this is not a Mike thing. This was a lady thing that we all took turns choosing things to do. So we went to these.
That seems fair.
Did you pick the robot show?
Huh? No, everybody picked the robot show. Yeah, yeah. No, I wanted to do sumo.
You look like a bull in a china shop at that Hello Kitty store. Totally
did. That was me everywhere. I mean, like, honestly.
I'm not going to touch anything. I'm just going to say.
You didn't even specifically at the Hello Kitty store.
In Osaka.
You look so out of place.
Hashtag Mike doesn't fit in Japan.
No, Mike does not fit in Japan.
In Osaka, there was a shopping district where I bought the pan for the things, for the octopus things, where it's literally like I couldn't fit down the aisle. And I was scared to, like, go down. Like, the guy's like, oh, come here. I'll get the pan for you because I had the demo one. They were showing it off in the front. And I'm like, oh, wait. I'll wait here. And he's like,
I'll wait right here, buddy.
And he looked up and he saw me and he's like, okay, just wait. He's like, I get it. And, but yeah, it was, like, super tight. Little shops and stuff like that in the Tsukiji Fish Market. The outer market that we went to that we were just walking around eating. Everything on sticks, man.
Scorpions?
No, that's not.
No, I know. That's like China.
That's Thailand. That's China has.
That was Jeff's like big thing. Like he just kept saying, I'm going to eat street food. He's like, that's all I want to do in Thailand.
You don't understand. In Japan, everything is good. Like literally everything was amazing. And you would go to like, I remember we ordered ramen. I ordered ramen from a vending machine. So like the machine spits out a ticket and then you just take it to the counter and then the guy brings you ramen. And it's the best ramen I've ever fucking had.
I don't think there's bad ramen in Japan.
Everything we ate. The 7-Eleven was like the snacking mecca.
It just feels like everything is fresher when you travel.
Probably. Well, especially.
I mean, it's important to them. So like all this stuff is good.
We ate at a gas station. Mm-hmm. But the gas stations in Italy are like bars.
Yeah.
So in Spain they're like that too.
Like a truck stop.
Yeah, like their truck stops. There was like one that we stopped at was like a 3-story one. And
sure, it's like civilization.
Yeah.
And because you have to drive real long distances. Yeah.
I'm like, this is amazing.
Well, it's when you told me about 7-Eleven.
Like, I would not eat at a gas station here if you paid me. Mm-hmm. But in Italy, I was like, I will take this raw beef.
Because
station sushi.
Yeah.
And it was totally. This is the best. No, the 7-Eleven sushi was the best sushi I've ever had.
Of course.
The little pork bun was one of the most fresh, delicious things.
At 7-Eleven, I was like, that is one thing I'll tell you in Thailand. Like, there was one in every corner, and there was everything in there, and it was amazing stuff. And like the food was, I was like,
because we have like, we're the only ones, I think we're the only country that has like such strict, like we put so much shit in our food. Like nobody else really does.
Well, like over there, the chicken that like you would eat, not all of it was cooked. Like we cook our chicken to shit because you have to kill the salmonella.
Right.
There they don't have the risk as much. Like the salmonella risk is super low. Salmonella exposure is super low. Everything here already has salmonella from the factory. Unless you're farming it yourself. And even the chickens that you get yourself now, the it's there. Like the potential is there for it to have salmonella. So it's already fucked up. So the chicken you would eat there would be more flavor because it wasn't cooked to the fucking death.
Dry.
You know, it wasn't dried out. And
were the eggs like super orange?
Super orange. Everything's like free range, like the cage free eggs that are organic that are like bright orange. All of it was like that. It was all like that, and it was fucking great.
To see different things.
I'll tell you what. I'm trying to think of the weirdest thing I ate. Was the cockle sushi was pretty weird.
That's a fun word.
The horse meat thing was, I guess, weird, but it was pretty good. It was just it was a little chewy. It was like, you know, like venison, and. I'm trying to think. Oh, have you ever had mochi? Do you know what mochi is?
Yes.
That ground, it's like a gooey rice thing.
Yes.
It's like such a weird texture.
David likes that. I love that thing.
That weirded me out. Like after a while, you know, like get the rapugna, you're just like, after chewing it for too long, because it was like a huge ball of it, I was like, ugh.
At the Japanese gardens, they have mochi ice cream. So you get the mochi.
They
rice
have
on
mochi
the outside,
ice cream.
Oh,
and
right.
Then the inside. Yes, they have it at Costco.
At Trader Joe's.
Oh, Trader Joe's has it too.
But it's that gooey stuff.
It's the gooey stuff, but right. Instead of just being straight, just that, a ball of the mochi, they put ice cream in the middle of it.
Right.
So you break it up a little bit.
Sure. I mean, it's good, but it was just like for an unusual texture to have like that much of it. It was like, huah, huah. You know, like you just kind of roll it around in your mouth. You're like, huah, huah, huah.
That's a wonderful sound.
I'm going to step away for a second. Sorry.
Actually, let's pause real quick. Please hold.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage.
Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The other person.
Of course.
Okay, here we go. All right, guys, we're back. Thanks for holding.
Mike, I have a very important question for you.
Wait, sorry, before.
Yeah, because we totally
do that because
it.
We totally just went a whole hour and did not talk about the wine that we're drinking today. today's wine was gifted to us by my parents. They just came back from North Carolina and they visited the winery where this bottle came from. It's called Calabash, and it is a red table wine, which I didn't know that was a type of wine.
It's just a good old-fashioned bunch of red.
Yep. Red table wine. I like it.
It's fine. It tastes good.
It's good. Easy drink. It goes well with our cookie dough. Because today...
It's paired nicely with
with our Just Cookie Dough birthday cake flavor. It is the cookie dough you can buy in the supermarket. It's not from the special delivery place.
Why did you have that, because
we've had that cookie dough before.
You know how we like stalked you and told you to go to the dough ice cream place?
Yeah, yeah.
There's one here now.
But they deliver.
Yeah. Oh.
They're like Night Owl, but just a raw cookie dough.
Right, and like we've reached out to them and like they've sent us stuff and we're going to have
I have to go to Mojo Donuts. Someone told me about that here.
We had those.
Those were Mojo? Yeah. Those were Mojo? Yeah. Oh, I thought there was something else. Good.
You haven't been to the little store, but you've had them. We brought them.
Okay.
You didn't have to go. We brought them to you.
Yeah. Mama's a Merlot, bringing it to you.
Yeah, snackies. We're into the snacks.
Snackies instead of foodies. I get it.
Sure.
I like it a lot.
That's a good. You know what?
I'm a snacky.
At first it was weird, but I get it now. I get it.
I'm a snacky.
It was mansplained.
It was mansplained.
Oh, man. No, that's one of those words where you can't say anything afterwards. So I was like, oh, that's what you get from mansplaining. And then it's like, well,
David?
This conversation
Unless
is
your
over.
Name
Are
is...
you listening, David? Are you listening?
What is...
I'm not going to comment anything.
Stephanie... Okay, so remember how we were telling you off mic about our nicknames in our chat with the husband?
Yeah.
Well, Stephanie's husband, until recently, was Captain Mansplaining.
Captain Mansplain?
Yeah. Because...
Well...
Because he's a mansplainer, according to his wife.
I do think that term is overused because you're a man and you have to happen to know something doesn't mean you're mansplaining it.
Okay, I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's all in the way you say it.
Yeah.
Because if you're like
the condescending
tone. Vanessa, the sky is blue.
It's the actually guy.
Exactly. Well, actually. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's just David. An asshole. That's just someone.
See, right now. The snacky foodie.
Yeah, he cleared it. I was confused.
He cleared it up. That made total sense.
Yeah. The mansplain was for the funny.
If it would have been a mansplain, it would have been.
Oh, Stephanie's going to walk all over it this time.
Manspreading, I also think.
Manspreading is awful.
Manspreading is awful.
It's unfair for me because I can't not manspread. Giant.
Well, but this happens
you
a
did,
lot.
You did spread across
this
the
This happens
couch.
A lot. More like you probably have more experience with manspreading.
You are
not only because you're a man, but also because you live in a city where like public transportation is the way to go. So manspreading, Christy, I'm gonna use.
Oh, you don't know what it is?
Is when a man.
Hold on, actually, let me.
Well, actually, Mike is gonna mansplain manspreading.
Demonstrate.
It's like when you're sitting in like on the train in New York
or on
the subway or on an airplane or whatever, and the guy sits next to you, but he's like fucking like making room for his balls and shit.
Okay, tiene que ser el aire.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
but leaving you very little space. Like, he's being very territorial and taking up the entire
Or when they take up the armrest at the movie, and you're like, that's mine.
No, that has nothing to do with a man or woman. That's just evil people.
Well, everyone's entitled to at least one.
Yes.
Exactly. That's why I love the new AMC by the house. Everybody has two.
Yeah. The man-spreading thing that I've seen that is like all right, now you're just being an asshole, is when you're taking up that amount of room and no, like, where you're taking up basically a space where another person could sit.
Right.
And then you don't acknowledge it. Like, you just hold on to it. You're just like, fuck it, I'm going to stay like that. The ones I've seen of dudes where, because I sit, you know, like, I take up a lot of room, but even if, like, I see that there's needs for Buddhists, I'll take up as the least amount of room as possible.
A decent human being.
Right. Sometimes
Mike is actually considerate.
Yeah. The problem
was hashtag
womansplaining. Yeah, manspreading.
Manspreading, yeah. The problem, there's also, there's a woman term for it with all the bags. And I can't remember what that is.
Bitches?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, didn't clam, you do one time?
Oh, oh, it's called clam spreading. Yeah.
Is that really a thing? I've never heard that.
Someone used it on Facebook.
I love that. I'm going to use it.
Someone used it on Facebook, and I think, I mean, it's man spreading, and then there's clam spreading, because that's when, like, a girl has like 16 bags, and she sits them on the thing next to her, on the bench next to her, and nobody else can sit. It's equally as offensive.
Well,
it's
equally as a motherfucker. I only do that, like, if I know, like, if there's
plenty of space.
If there's five of us going out to dinner, and they sit us at a table for six, and they know there's going to be an empty chair.
That's the purse chair.
But I'm not going to just make
all
a
three
purse chair.
Purses go.
Well, this is
purse
in
chair.
Public transportation. If you're taking six bags onto a train, you're an asshole. Period.
Oh, yeah.
It's unnecessary. That's just too much stuff going on. I understand if people shop or whatever, that's fine. But you also have to be considerate of other people. I don't care if your bag touches the ground. That's on you. That seat is for butts. Yeah.
And also, my question to you is, how much is in that one bag?
I don't know, man.
Can you consolidate?
My ex fiance had a bag where she carried another bag in that bag, and then, like, shoes and all that stuff. And I get it, because I carry a backpack around, and you need all that stuff with you. In New York, it's like, you don't have a car. You can't just leave shit in the trunk. You have to have it with you at all times. But then I'm also like, do you really need all that every day? Like, is it a must-carry item?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What
I'm answering that question for you.
You don't even know what the fuck was in her purse.
But she, it was necessary.
Listen, but I feel like this is I am like a big purse girl, and a lot of times I will carry a smaller clutch version just to, like, if I need to just drop it. Like, for example, I run a lot of errands just doing what I do. I run a lot of errands. I'm always on the street. Sometimes I don't feel like taking the entire bag down with me, so I'll take, like, either the clutch.
But you have a car.
Or my Zip wallet or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll leave that in the car, and I'll just take, like, the smaller things.
The car is such a luxury, though.
Oh, it is. 100%.
I don't think, like, the frame, because you have to change your frame of reference. To where, if, and especially because I live in Queens, like, to me to get to Manhattan, it's a 45-minute train ride. There's, if I leave the house without it, I'm not going back to get it.
Done.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't. I have to go through the day without it. So, like, if you forget your headphones, bro, are you in trouble? You know, like, you have to listen to the sounds of the subway for your whole trip. You know, it's annoying. So, like, and you can't go back for it. So, you have to have it in your bag. I get it. But then there's, like, you know, your back hurts and all this stuff, and it's like, you look in there and you're like, oh, look, there's, you know, like 16 tea bags, and you're like, you don't need all that shit. You're like you look through, you're like, what do you need? And then I can't remember, like,
16 tea bags seems excessive,
or just because they accumulate, from my personal experience, ladies just throw it's a catch-all for, like,
yes,
I don't know if I'll need it later, I'll just put it in there, but then they never go through the bag. And,
well, if you're a parent, that is
that's a difference.
That is a lot
definitely.
Of stuff.
Well, I mean, I switched to a backpack because I'm of the three of us, I'm the only one that has two, so I need one hand for each child.
Of course.
So I switched to a backpack, but sometimes I open my backpack and I'm like, why do I have three t-shirts and one sock? Like, I don't need.
Yeah. Let me blow your mama minds for a second, because when we were over there, you see people living their life, and there are people with children. And you see them handling with babies, and they got the baby carriers and stuff, which is very similar to New York. So I wasn't too shocked by that. But then when the kids get to be 5 years old, 6 years old, they're walking to school by themselves.
That's crazy.
Everyone knows they wear the same uniforms. Every school, like, age person adopted from the British, and actually the boys' school uniforms that you see, those four button
that was the best thing in the world,
banded collar things.
Mm-hmm.
Those are taken from actually the Prussian army. Prussia used those as their uniforms, and it's just kind of held over. And those kids are like middle school age. The elementary school age kids all wear hats to signify what year they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and they know, they like, one of the jobs of the parent is to teach them how to get to school the whole first couple years they go to school. So they teach him how to get there. So you would see, like, I remember we were taking the bullet train home from Mount Fuji or wherever we were, from Hakone, where we were. And there was, like, this little school-age girl on the train. She was sitting next to me on her, like, playing a little game on her, a math game on her phone and eating a...
Of course she's playing a math game.
Super racist. Super racist.
I can't be, I can't most, help it that you're perpetuating it.
I'm not, no, she was just playing a game on her phone.
I'm kidding.
It's like, and then so she was eating one of these, like, rice ball, the, the nigiri things. And it, and I was like, she was just, like, going about her day. We're in a bullet train, which I thought was, like, that's just their, her ride home. And she was just going to, she got off the train and she walked and she into the neighborhood. You know, I could see her from the train station. She just walked off.
Well, yeah, because he's 3 feet taller than everybody.
Yeah. And then I was like, yeah, that's just her walking home. Like, she was just, you know, commuting home. And everyone knows it. They give the kids in elementary school, they have a little whistle that that they blow if there's ever any trouble, and people know to respond. Like, it, you know, the community knows that you don't fuck around.
That's actually really cool.
One of the tour groups, one of the tours that we went on, this guy Manabu, he was from Kyoto. He spoke very good English. He had studied in, like, Canada and New Zealand and stuff. So he was telling us all kinds of stuff. He was a real cool guy. And he knew about, like, freestyle hits. Like, he was talking about, oh, like, Miami, like, TKA.
What?
And all stuff. And we were like, holy shit.
No,
bro, we lost our
minds. Freestyle, you're not from Miami. Are you kidding me?
We lost our mind. He named some obscure people. And salsa, too. Like, he named some, because he had some, like, some Hispanic, Latino friends. I don't know exactly where he heard it. But he was dropping names where we were all like, what the fuck?
That's awesome.
He was a cool guy. He was a nice guy, and he told us that petty crime over there is viewed as, like, dumb. Like, what? You're not going to make any money doing petty crime. If you want to make some real money, well,
organized crime, mafia, that
shit. It's true. And he was telling us, he's like, there's areas where you can go that, and he didn't want to say the word. You know, he's like, you know, the Y word, and I was like, and I was going to be like, no, I'm not going to say it. I was like, oh, you mean Yakuza? And then, like, have everyone in the train look at you. And he was, like, waving his hands. And he was like, yeah, the guys that cut their pinkies off. And I'm like, I think that's just as obvious what you're doing.
That's like when people
They just point at their forearm. It's like, you're curious about the time? You got sunburn or something? You want to know what time
it's itchy,
it is?
It's itchy.
Yeah, yeah. Again, super racist.
Very.
But the idea behind it is that petty crime is viewed as dumb. So if they see somebody, like, stealing a bike, everyone's like, what are you doing? You idiot. So nobody fucks with the kids. Nobody steals anything. I told them, I was like, you could walk by yourself, you know, and you don't even need to know the language. You just go up a random stranger in the street and be like, hey, can you help me find this place? They'd be like, yeah, it's over there. And that's it. There's, like, you don't really have to feel threatened at all. It was really, really interesting.
That's cool.
That was very, very, because even here, like, when I was at the airport, I was looking over my shoulder, making sure my bag is next to me, super paranoid. When I get back to New York, I'm always, you know, kind of looking around.
Well, I tell Jeff all the time, like, Jeff laughs at me because I don't like Uber. Because I'm like, I'm going to get killed. Because I don't trust anybody. Like, I have serious trust issues.
I think that's how, I think America, like, the United States has ruined itself by making itself afraid of itself. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much, like, fear. I realize that because, like, you see these kids walking around, and they're cool. They teach them proper levels of responsibility, and then from the time that they're young, eventually, like, all the processes and go to school, and you have education. And school is actually, like a 12-hour day, and you have extracurriculars in there as part of this. Like, kids go to school because that's where their social hour is. That's where all their friends are. That's where their hobbies are. And it's, like, very, like, if you're outside of that, it's viewed very kind of negatively, like, where you can, you're even within that structure, you're allowed to express yourself, but if you're, like, against society or whatever, that's the bad thing. But you could dress however you want, look however you want, do what, find, as long as you're going to school and you got a job, like, they're like, yeah, whatever. And everyone there dresses nice, everyone in Tokyo.
I like that too.
Granted, everyone is fairly slim. The girls there were hot. I had to make a post with it. Like, some girls were thick, and it was fucking with me.
Really?
Yes, man. I was, because they are city. They walk everywhere. They're wearing high heels. So their legs are, like, looking good. And I was like, just, like, breaking neck, like, constantly. I was like, Jesus.
I was just like, you always get that, like, tiny little Japanese girl, like, image.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of skewed towards when they're too young. like that whole like
Japanese businessman.
All those things are this very negative images.
I know, but you're the
product of the American viewpoint of Japanese culture, because of course those are like fringe things, and the tentacle porn and all that stuff. That's not like on their subway ads, you know. Like tentacle porn is not like the thing that everyone's
You went to Mars Bar, didn't you?
Huh?
You went to Mars Bar back in the day.
Mars Bar? No.
They used to play that fucking anime videos of like,
no, but that's the thing that
time.
That's the thing that comes up, like everyone think like because of certain sexual things there, the sexual regulation, then you can show tentacles but you can't show dicks. So of course now tentacles fuck everybody.
Well, there's a video, have you seen, I think it's Japanese men watching American porn,
mm-hmm.
and like you see their reactions
to
American porn, they're so grossed out and they're so embarrassed.
Yeah, they're like, Jesus.
It's only one guy was like, oh, well, this is interesting, but the rest of them were like, oh my god, like what is happening?
Yeah, well, I get it, because it's like they're like, because even then, like when they're showing like the gratuitousness of the actual sex, they're not used to seeing as all pixelated because of years and years of specific regulation. So to them,
so
they're
even
just
in their porn, they can't show penises.
No, the porn. That's what you see. You never seen all the pixelated.
No, I have
no
idea what you're talking about.
You're a fucking liar.
I swear to God, I really don't.
You've never seen it before, like even referenced.
I feel like we're gonna have to pause and look up Japanese porn.
Oh my god, no, please! I don't want that to be this. I don't want it to be that I'm the guy that forces Stephanie Japanese porn.
Well, this is your homework. Stephanie. Yeah. You look
my
it
homework
up
assignment is to go look up Japanese tentacle porn.
But yeah, like the genitalia is all pixelated out, even in the porn, in the anime.
It's just dicks. Like there's no boobs or vagina either.
No, that they show.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the vagina they don't show.
Okay,
boobs.
But
is
boobs
okay.
are free. Oh, fine.
Yeah, boobs are fine.
Okay,
free for all.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Who doesn't love boobs?
I mean, I like boobs.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is that
they're fun.
Yeah, but I was going to say before we got derailed into this conversation was that some of the girls
porn.
Had boobs too, and it was just like Jesus. This is there were plenty of they're just slender framed, but they.
They're petite.
They work out like essentially by walking everywhere, so they have like the toned legs, and it was fucking with my head because they were all dressed really nice too. They looked really well put together. You know, you see like in New York, I'll see like a sexy Dominican woman, but she's wearing like sweats that have like a stain on them and like a
laundry day.
Yeah, like the laundry perpetually. Like they look like it's laundry day every day. And then you go there and you see someone dressed nice.
No, we don't
not
know how to dress in this country anymore. It's really sad. Like you go anywhere else, like go to Europe, like whatever.
Yeah.
Like they still they look nice to like leave the house.
They and if they were going, and there were some girls that they were dressed to a specific style, like they're wearing like a saddle. What are they called? Like the Oxfords, saddle shoes or whatever. And they look they like frilly dresses and look like a very like almost like a Victorian period thing, like with style. Like and so these girls were pretty, like because you know they looked well put together. They looked pretty, and then they also had like legs and butts. And I was like, what is happening?
Where am I?
I was like, yeah, I'm gonna move here. I'm gonna live. In this environment. But it was interesting to see people care about them, like what they look like, because everyone looked put together. You know, even
see,
the dudes.
You guys make fun of me.
I don't make fun
of
you.
I make fun of you.
The dudes.
Yes, you do.
Why?
I give you
because you call her old.
But she picked me up to come to game night, and she's like, "You really just can't do it, can you?"
Well, because it was because we had game night a couple weeks ago here, and it was like super casual jeans, t-shirt kind of night. We're just hanging out. She came with
like a pajama.
I was wearing cargo pants and Converse
and a full face of makeup.
I guess that's a different guy. Like, I don't think about that. But yeah, if you see someone in full makeup, it looks more dressy than someone wearing.
Yeah, she was
like,
hair was like
full
flowing.
Makeup. Hair was like, like not
maybe
one
she
little
flyaway.
Just
fly wanted to feel pretty. I get it.
There's no problem with that. But when we say like casual, I mean like I'm gonna put lip gloss on and I'm done.
Do you think that comes from the fact that you were not as dressed, like not as put together as she
was? Oh no, that's exhausting.
No, that comes from my grandmother is like
I was being like the judgment that came.
Oh no, it's just because it's funny.
Well, I'm not judging her. I know that that's her. Like she wants to take the time to do full face makeup.
Right.
Do you, boo?
I love
that she does that, because then when I have questions, I'm like, who do I know that knows how to do this? Stephanie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, your thing.
Yeah.
She's our makeup
semi selfie. She's like, how does my makeup look today?
All the time. I'm like, I colored in my eyebrows today. What do you think? He's like, they on fleek today? And she's like, yes, they look great.
Yeah, like I was like, I need to buy makeup. Who wants to come
exactly.
with me? Look, there's a sale here. Do you want this? Because I may want to order something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yesterday she texted me. She's like, ColourPop's having a sale. And I'm like, let's place an order.
I don't,
which also means I get to blame all my makeup stuff on Stephanie. So I'm like, I just bought up a blush palette that was completely unnecessary because of Stephanie.
Yeah. It's always good to be the scapegoat.
It's not my money.
But also, like, you're the source of information, but if you get it wrong, so help you.
Oh,
God help you if you fuck up.
I'm very rarely wrong, though.
Oh.
I want translucent powder.
I told you it was translucent powder. Okay, I have a very important question for you.
You have a very important question for me.
Very important question.
Yes.
How is our godson, Lumber Bear?
Lumber Bear's doing great. Lumber Bear's doing great. He was, I really thought about taking him to take some pictures when it snowed last time.
I think you need to make an Instagram account for him.
For Lumber Bear. But
you
should have taken him to Japan. I should. The thing is that he doesn't travel well because he has a base. He's a little big.
I need
a smaller Lumber Bear. If anybody sees a smaller Lumber Bear, send it to me.
We'll be on the lookout for a smaller Lumber Bear.
Something that I can put in my bag and just leave there. Because then I can always be like, oh, there's a good Lumber Bear picture. I'll put it up.
Okay.
But it has to be smaller.
He can carry it around in his backpack.
Yeah, it'll be in my purse that I don't need.
So that you can clam spread.
Yeah.
Lumber Bear next to
you.
Clam spread and man spread.
Well, listen, Lumber Bear needs his own seat.
Yeah, he does.
Well, my trick for handling my bag is that I hang it from my legs when I'm sitting down. Like, I just put the loops here, and then so it never touches the ground.
Right.
So I'm just sitting there like that, chilling, and then if someone comes up, you just kind of do one of these, and it's right in front of you. I have my plans. I have my strategies for not manspreading.
Well,
also, I've spent a lot of my life trying not to break shit and knock into people. And I've just learned, like, you just don't want to, you know, you got to be conscious of how much space you take up.
There's a story that I saw. It came up on Facebook the other day about this girl that she's, I think, 8 to 9 feet tall.
Oh, yeah.
That she's like 14 or 16. Like, she's still young.
You're talking about the Brazilian girl?
I think she is Brazilian. That they just, her and her mother decided to, like, just keep her home. Like she doesn't no longer.
There's one of those
people?
I saw that's fake though.
That can't be good though.
There's one of those that I saw that's not real. That it's like two people pretending to be a tall person.
No. This is one girl.
No. The way they shoot.
Are you offended?
No.
Cartoon.
It's no. It's like it's made to be, I guess, kind of spoofy.
Right.
And the way they shoot her, you never see her whole body.
Mm-hmm.
You always see like her and then her legs out, and then they look. I mean, they did. It feels like they did a good job, but I don't know what that means.
Like,
you
little
know?
Rascals.
No, this is
kind of
like a real girl. I have to find it. It's in
Like two kids in a trench coat.
No. And like, she's like, apparently by the age of, I think it was like by the age of 14, she was already 6 to 7 feet tall. I think she has to be like 19
seven,
or something.
That sounds too big. That sounds
she's
too
yeah,
tall.
No. Really,
but I've seen like on TV, I've seen like a documentary of like they're giants and they are over like 7-8 feet tall.
The whole thing with her is that her parents decided to keep her home.
Can't be good for your heart though.
The one I saw was that Brazilian girl that she's home, but then she ends up becoming like a model. Like someone hired her to be a model in Brazil.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe that's like where she is now. But
right.
Like, I know that the whole thing was like, and that she just stopped. And like she was saying, she's like, at one point, me and my mom, I just stopped going out of the house really because it was dangerous for me to be outside of the house because I would keep hitting my head on things. I would keep, you know, crashing into things. She would pass out because she would like.
This doesn't sound real. Things like this sound. This might be the fake one because it sounds like the fake
one.
But no,
like
I saw.
You can see like the girl standing there. Like it's not two people,
really.
And like they have her with like her friend and her mom and like walking around the house and stuff like that. And like she's bending and moving, so it's not.
Yeah.
To like, but like it was.
There was a reality show about tall people.
There was.
I remember watching it. I clearly remember being in North Carolina watching this.
About tall people? I know there's the little people.
Yeah, there's the little people big world, but there's another one.
Oh, they have
the opposite.
There's one with the little people one about this girl that she's like hot. God, I can't remember, but she's like, I'll show you the picture.
Okay.
Well, there's like the Little Women of, are they in Atlanta now or Beverly Hills? Steph, you know
LA, this. But I don't do the Little Women.
There's like there was one that they have like their own like
draws a line.
They have like a
I don't watch any of these
when it
shows
comes to my
just,
reality television.
Yeah,
when it comes to my trashy TV, I have standards. Thank you.
I don't really watch it, but I see posts about it. You know, like I see I see like people posting about something or like the Real Housewives and stuff like that, and I'm like, this is dumb. Like, I know about it, but I never watched the show.
Well, Stephanie can tell you all about it.
About Real Housewives?
I could.
What about those shows? Like, if you sum it up in one sentence, like, why do you watch Real Housewives of whatever?
Because it's... Those people are so out of touch with what it's like to be an actual human being that it's just so entertaining.
Is it like a Schadenfreude
thing? That was a nicer answer than what I came up with.
Yeah. Is it like a Schadenfreude where you see like them being bad to each other or like being mean or bad things happening to them and you're like, good.
But then
you get a joy out of that.
But then there's also like one of the Real Housewives of New York is the ex-wife of JP Morgan's grandson. So she's a gazillion.
Yeah, yeah, she's
And she lives in this like old like 4 or 5 story townhouse on the Upper East Side. And
must be nice.
Sonia Morgan, I'm talking about you.
Does she listen?
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Sonia Morgan, girl? If you're listening.
What up, girl?
What's up, girl? You want to come on the podcast?
We'll come to you.
What's a podcast? What's a podcast? I just have people yell me my information.
She does. She does. So she has a butler on retainer that is the Morgan's butler. She has... She has like she's just like so weird. It's like I guess the eccentricities are like really weird rich people that are just so rich that like
so rich people are intriguing to you. You know what?
Really, people with a lot of money and then don't know what to do.
What about like the Mama June Honey Boo Boo? I feel like you're making fun of mentally ill people when you do that.
I feel like there's a lot of people that do reality television, like do reality television because like they don't have a lot of money or they don't really have that great of a source of income.
Yeah, I think they're making fun of them.
It's kind of a little bit exploitative. Like the reason that I do the Housewives and the Kardashians because these people were millionaires before this.
Yeah, but I don't think they deserve to be made fun of either. You know, I think a lot of that is almost like mocking how crazy.
But then there's also like these people are
putting themselves in this situation. Yes,
like nobody's
forcing them to
do this, and like you're on a year-to-year contract. You can walk away whenever you want.
And what like in the Osbournes, wasn't there one of the daughters, Ozzy Osbourne's daughters, the oldest one, I'm not in it.
No, she doesn't want to have anything.
Even she was like living in the house at the time. She just
didn't film her. And there are plenty of housewives or like people like other reality stars like Shaw's Sunset or Southern Charm or whatever that they are married.
What? What are those?
Shaw's of Sunset is
amazing.
Shaw's of Sunset. Amazing.
You need to know, honestly, of all the like.
I'm not watching any of this shit, but explain
Shaw's
it to
Sunset
me.
Shaw's of Sunset is really rich Persians in Beverly Hills.
Really rich Persians, okay.
The best person ever invented.
Reza Farahan is like
Reza. Is the best
one
person
sentence,
on Earth.
Describe why he's the best.
He's fabulous.
He's amazing.
What up, Reza?
Fabulous, I think, of gay. Is he gay?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Amazingly so.
Yeah.
He's so over the top.
But on those shows, Shaw's of Sunset and Southern Charm and like those kinds of shows, those are kind of like, think of The Hills almost, just like with different types of people.
You're going to dig a huge hole because now I'm like, what's The Hills?
Oh my God.
10 years ago. Lauren Conrad, LC, Heidi Montag, Spencer. Oh my God.
Heidi Montag. I know the name.
You can't even know that name.
We're going to have a lesson after we're done recording.
You don't know Heidi Montag.
Well, because the only thing I do watch that it makes fun of it, I ended up getting a CISO subscription. Does anyone subscribe to CISO, the comedy?
I don't even know. It's
I've seen it a couple times. I've seen the one that has the guy from that was on 40 Rock.
30 Rock. What do you mean? 40 Rock.
He's on a show. The one that was the security guard.
Jack McBrayer?
Yes. He has a show on CISO.
Oh, okay. I didn't watch that one. I got it for it's one called Harmon Quest where it's like Dan Harmon, the creator of Community, and Rick and Morty. He's one of those guys. He does a show where he invites people on. They play Dungeons and Dragons and they animate it, and it's super fun and goofy and it's really interesting. But then I saw that this other show on there that's fucking hilarious. It's called Bajillion Dollar Properties, and it's all about a fake million dollar real estate.
That's not the one that he's on.
He's not on it. No.
Well, because on Bravo there's Million Dollar Listing.
Right. It's making fun of that.
Right.
And it's fucking hilarious. It's Paul F. Tompkins is in it and a bunch of like really good California improvisers, and it's it's mind-bogglingly good at spoofing, because I've seen those shows, those like Flip It or Fix It or whatever. And
oh yeah,
like, where it's like all about like properties. And I know that there's one called Million Dollar Listings and stuff like
they
that.
They have also like Kevin Hart, I think, has Real Husbands of Hollywood or something like that.
That's a spoof on
that. That is so funny.
But it's like the men,
right?
But it's so, super
but like
funny.
I think Jerry O'Connell's in that, and there's
it's
like
gone nuts.
There's
but I don't like I don't, again, it's not, it's more about the people. This one's about like the whole listing of properties and the, all the drama going on in that little group of the little business, and it's bananas funny. It's so
well, my
funny.
Whole point with bringing all that other stuff up is because there are people on these shows that are married to people that don't want to appear on the show, so it's very easy to like, if someone in your family or whatever doesn't want to be part of the show, like they don't have to be.
Like I know someone who was
he's gonna be on season two.
Exploiting people and making fun of people, maybe, but those people also aren't being forced into anything.
Right, like one of my
I'm pretty sure
they're being paid well.
There's listen, NeNe Leakes, when she before she left Atlanta Housewives, she was making $1 million a season. A lot
that,
these women,
that makes me mad.
These women, yeah. Tamara Judge and Vicky Gunvalson, make like $750. Like they make a lot of money, a lot of money.
One of my friends, his son was on Dance Moms Miami.
Nice.
And
that was right here.
Yeah, it's right by my house.
It's aquí mismo.
Yeah,
it's down the street.
Yeah, and he didn't want it. He was part of it for a couple things, but.
From what I understand about reality television, your first season, you don't get paid that great. You make like 20, 30 grand probably your first season.
If the show hits, then
you make more. But if the show hits, like from then on, you can, like the cast of Vanderpump Rules, they were literally waiters and waitresses in this restaurant.
What's Vanderpump Rules? Stop naming shows that I don't
know. Do you know who Lisa Vanderpump is?
No.
Oh,
why the fuck would I know who that is?
Let's not go down this route.
But like,
she's a really rich lady in Beverly Hills that owns several restaurants, and they did a spin. Wow. She's on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills,
and they
did a spin-off show about.
She was also on Dancing with the Stars.
They did a spin-off show about some of the waiters and waitresses at her.
It's actually pretty
at one of her restaurants.
Amazing.
And those. They were literally waiters and waitresses making like waiter and waitress money, and now they're five seasons in.
And are they not working as waiters?
They are, though. They, as part of their contract, they still have to work at least three nights a week at the restaurant. So they have to.
This all sounds so dumb. Like I would, it seems.
I make $1 million.
Then again,
I don't know that they make $1 million, but they definitely are pulling in six figures.
Yeah, but then again, I made I played Skyrim for 16 hours one day. You know what I mean? Like I waste time in a different way. So to me, it's like not how I would waste time. So I get it.
If somebody was paying you, you might be willing to waste time.
Yeah, like my little brother, he plays video games on Twitch, and he has sponsors that give him money, and he doesn't make a lot of money, but it's like his hobby. It's his comfort waste of time.
Right.
You know, like a comfort food everyone
this
has.
This is our comfort waste of time.
Yeah.
This isn't a waste of time. This is therapy.
This is different because you're producing content, but it's like a weird kind of passion project, we'll call it.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, but I'll kill time watching like a season of a show that I've seen for a bunch of times.
Oh yeah, so will I.
Like, just this week, being homesick, I rewatched Parks and Rec.
I just started watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That show is fucking
funny.
How
did you miss that?
I don't know. I thought it was dumb.
I saw the first couple episodes and I thought it was dumb. But we got into Parks and Rec this week.
Oh yeah, no.
Parks and Rec is amazing.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I'm glad you stuck through it, because the thing is
first half of that first season didn't do well.
No, because they start the what was available on the plane was like the first half of season four or some shit. So for me, it was like they just threw me into the show, and I was on a plane like in a confined space where. Like, I guess this is good, but actually it reminds me. Do you watch the show Angie Tribeca?
I can't watch it.
Oh my god, I love that show. Why don't you like that show?
I love Rashida Jones.
Yeah,
but I don't like her in that character.
Why? That show's like Airplane. It's like Airplane.
I don't know, but the thing is, for some reason,
Steve Carell produced it with his wife.
Nancy, that's another show I need to rewatch because I watched two episodes and I didn't like it.
The Office?
Weird, yeah. The show is crazy weird. And it's like Airplane. It's like Kentucky Fried Movie.
I don't like any of those movies, though. So
I love Kentucky Fried Movie.
That does not appeal to me in any way, shape, or form.
But I just couldn't do it.
I love it.
I watched the first two episodes and it's just she's not who I expected her to be. And it's a really shitty thing to say.
Right. I totally get what you're saying.
Did you expect her to be Anne?
No, because, I kind of love Anne.
You sun-drenched mermaid. You, what is it? You brown, so there's like all of those different.
She looks like a Disney princess.
Yeah.
She's like a, but like, I just like from The Office or from the other things, and like also like she's such a well spoken, like, and I get it, she's a comedic actress.
It's a totally different show.
But it's a total, like,
but I like that show a lot too. So there's, it's weird that there's so much like I was just going through my mom and my stepdad's Amazon Prime thing that they have. I hooked it up to the TV for them finally. And I'm that, like, now when I show up, I'm at my...
Fix this.
I'm that guy now. It's, my dad used to do it for, like, lights and fans and toilets and electrical stuff and installing things and building stuff. I'm the computer, TV, electronics, whatever. They're like, Mike, my laptop isn't working, and we got to put Hulu on this thing, and we got to put... And I'm, so
that
I'm,
sounds like
my, I'm like
my
tech
parents
support.
Just got an Apple TV, and then my dad got an email, like a spam email, that looked like it came from Apple, and my dad's like, I didn't subscribe to anything. And I'm like, Dad... you can ignore it. It's fake.
Yeah,
like, it's fine.
So yeah, everyone should. As a little tip, I found this out. Everyone, if go tell the old people in your family, your parents, not even that old, tell your parents and your grandparents, if someone ever calls them asking for money for you, if someone ever calls asking money for you, tell them to call you immediately. Like, don't talk to people about you. You know what I mean? Because someone called for my friend's grandmother saying that he was in a situation financially and we need to settle his debts and blah, blah, blah. And we need access to his accounts and we need money to get him out of a jam, to get him out of prison or something like that. And his mom and his grandmother paid. And he's like, no, call me immediately. Hang up and call me immediately. So
didn't you have something like that? Like, they called your mom asking about her cable.
Yeah, I heard her asking, saying that there was malware found on her system and this and that, and that they would they needed to have access if they wanted them to remove it to this stuff. And I'm just like,
yeah.
No,
there's a,
she's tech support.
Yeah. Like, but the thing is,
what's
that
her
you
job?
You, well, of course, but the,
or what's
the,
her job?
Socially, the thing, the Sorry. Part that you don't. Whoa, what happened?
They like restructured her position.
Ooh, I've been a part of that. Never
Me
fun.
Too.
But I. But what I was saying is that if you ever see a scam and you're like, who falls for this shit? Old people do.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what's going on. They're like, what do I have to do? And then they get like who falls for these Nigerian print scams? Old people, like little old people do.
Have I told you about my friend that works for the State Department?
No.
I have a friend of mine that
does she work for the State Department?
He works for the State Department.
Whatever.
It's like
again, and one of the things that he's like, he directly reports to the Secretary of State. Like, he's like higher up there.
Should we be talking about this?
No, it's fine. I'm not naming who he is. He's told me that he's had to, like, he travels a lot and he's had to go to Africa to get people, like, old ladies back, because old ladies fall for that, and they show up off on planes, like, they get off planes with, like, bags of, like, their entire retirement or whatever.
What?
Pension, and they show up thinking...
I've only heard about mailing checks. I've never heard about people actually going
people
to...
Yeah, they've had to go, like, recover people.
And it's a shame. Part of it's kind of funny, but it's
like I'm just
shame.
Imagining a little old lady with, like, all her carpet bags.
Yeah, like a Mary Poppins bag full of cash.
Yeah, basically.
And here... So, speaking of the... State Department or the embassy having to go rescue people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my segue. God. That is a great segue.
Brilliant segue.
High five.
Let's
Chris.
Talk Good about job. Fire Festival.
Yeah.
Fire with a Y.
What the fuck is going
so,
on?
What is the... Let's start from the beginning. What is happening? And what is it? And what
Stephanie,
was it supposed
Stephanie has
to be?
The details.
So, what I, from what I understand it, this is the brainchild of Ja Rule. That Ja Rule.
Clearly.
But, and other people. Like, it's not just
No,
Ja Rule.
It's him. Like,
it
nobody,
was him and some guy.
It's him and some guy, but it's the guy's not famous. He's just, like, an investor with a lot of money.
But I'm saying, like, it's...
Should have been clue number one.
Yeah.
So, they... The idea behind it actually isn't a bad idea.
No, it's
not at all.
They branded it. It was supposed to be marketed as, like, big...
Sorry, guys. Ooh. All the volume went crazy. Okay. Hi. Sorry.
Are we too loud?
No, just mine moved.
Oh.
My bad.
So anyway, this thing was branded as, like...
Right, it doesn't sound like a bad idea.
Luxury Coachella Bonnaroo music festival.
In
whatever.
The Bahamas.
In
on,
the
like
Bahamas,
a private
in
island.
The Exumas. On a private island in the Exumas. And it was supposed to be, like, these, like, geodomes. And it was all supposed to be, like... eco-friendly, and it was supposed to be
super
catering by Steven Starr, which is, like, a huge...
Which, by the way, what happened there? But continue.
Steven Starr operates out of here.
Yeah, so...
So, and it was supposed to be... They were, like, supposedly gonna, like, charter and wrap 737 airplanes, and if you purchase a ticket, you were like on this private plane to like go, and it was going to be like luxury transportation.
$25,000 tickets were being sold. I saw that as the high number.
Well, there,
I don't know if that's true.
Regular, $150.
No. Regular tickets were between $2,000 and $12,000, and then they had all these add-ons that you could add to your ticket,
like packages.
Packages that you could add to your ticket that could go could have gone up to $250,000.
Jesus.
So everybody flocked to it. Nice. I don't think as many people flocked to it as they expected it to. And here's where I think the problem is.
And while they were there, they were supposed to have, it was like the 2 weekend thing.
Right. It was like 2 weekends. It was supposed to be like, it was like all these like luxury things that you were going to be able to enjoy, like as part of your package. Like it was going to be like morning yoga and like, you know, like a spiritual healer, like, access all the time. And
like bougie as fuck.
Like bougie as fuck.
But,
like random.
But like a Burning Man, but like. Fancy pants.
And you're like a fancy Burning Man. Right, exactly.
Fancy Coachella.
But it had like Blink-182 was the big.
Well, they were, and then they were also like headlining, but it wasn't just Blink-182, it was like Major Lazer was. And
it seems like they had a weird mix of people going, like,
I think LCD Sound System was one of the like big names.
You're
saying
cool.
Words that I don't understand.
Like big names in music that like were supposed
in
to
that
headline.
Scene. Yeah, yeah.
In that scene, in like the music festival
people
scene.
People that like Millennial Pink.
You leave
What's millennial pink,
pink?
Out.
A pink.
We'll talk about it after today.
We'll talk about it.
Is it like a pink with $100,000 of student loan debt?
Yep.
Yeah, more or less.
Right.
Living in their parents' basement.
Basically, what ended up happening is people showed up. It was supposed to be, the festival was arrival Thursday, festival Friday, Saturday, go back on Sunday. Mm-hmm. People started showing up yesterday.
Well, I also heard that before that all that happened is that like the promotional side of things, they got like big people.
Oh yeah, so they got like
the
all the famous like influencers, like so like Kendall Jenner and like Emily Ratajkowski,
to post about
Hailey Baldwin, like all these like famous models and like influencers.
We'll put famous in air quotes, I think, because I don't know half of those names.
Okay, we'll explain later.
They're millennially famous.
Emily Ratajkowski was the chick from the Birdline video
is,
with the boobs.
She's
Kendall
naked
Jenner,
all the time. She's very attractive.
Kendall Jenner, you know who she is.
Kendall Jenner, yeah.
Haley Baldwin is Stephen Baldwin and Chyna Phillips' daughter.
Who may or may not
Steven?
Was dating
Steve,
Justin
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin.
No, Stephen.
Stephen Baldwin?
She's Stephen. Ireland Baldwin is his.
Ah. She's the pig.
Yeah, she's the one that he called the fat pig in the voicemail.
That's a bad thing to say.
No, this is the one.
No, he called her that in the voicemail.
I know, yeah. But it's also a bad thing.
This is the one that he made that was dating Justin Bieber?
Allegedly.
Which one?
This
Hailey Baldwin.
Oh, Hailey Baldwin.
So they got like up basically. This whole like
just
marketing thing that it was going to be like celebrity filled because they wanted it to be like a Coachella where like people flock to it. And again, the idea behind it doesn't sound bad. What I think happened is that they didn't sell. Didn't make the money that they needed to make in order to cover all these costs.
Yeah.
So they took what they had and they like half-assed it.
Rather than cancel it. Right.
So then people start showing up and it literally looks like an internment camp.
It looks like a tent city.
It looks like a FEMA tent.
Yeah, it looks like a FEMA tent.
Someone said it looked like FEMA tents. I was just watching videos of it. It was literally like mattresses. Like it was good. They showed you like the sketch of like what in your package of like what the geodrome was going to look like, and it was like this like luxury, it looked like a hotel room but just like in a like a yurt or like a dome or whatever.
It was like glamping.
Yeah,
correct. Like exactly. But it was like mattresses like on top of pallets and like an IKEA fucking lac table in the like a $7 IKEA lac table. And then the food that was supposed to be this like gourmet Steven Starr catering, like someone posted a picture of like the lunch that they got when they did get food, because apparently these people were served one time in the entire 24-hour period they had been there. It was literally,
and it's a private island. It's not like there's other stuff there.
Oh, it's a private island. It's not like they went to Nassau or Bimini
where
and
you could
like
just
go
get
to, something
yeah
else.
Go to
like
a restaurant
they were
yeah.
on they were secluded
and they couldn't get off.
And they had like school buses for transportation where they were supposed to be in like luxury golf carts and like motor coaches and stuff. And they had like, it was apparently full of like feral dogs and wild pigs.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I just saw that now.
It turns into fucking Lord of the Flies over there.
People are comparing
that's what they're
it to
comparing
Lord of the Flies
to.
And to like the Hunger Games and stuff. Because
Hunger Games is more organized.
Yeah, and they gave them like a styrofoam container.
Like what you get like at a fucking
like a
when
ham
you order
sandwich.
Your doggy bag to go at fucking like.
Uh huh.
Chili's. Outback or whatever, Chili's. That's what they gave it to you in with two slices of bread, two slices of cheese, and lettuce.
And the
I did see that picture. Yeah,
and
yeah.
And the slice of cheese doesn't even look like it's like a Gucci sandwich. It seems like it's just like melted by the heat.
Cheese sandwich. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it just looks like it's like crafting.
It's literally just like this old cheese,
like wilty,
like wilted cheese.
Yeah,
like room temperature craft singles.
Air cooled cheese.
Because even the lettuce looks wilty. Like yeah, wilty. And then, well, there's a video.
You know how hot it was today?
Yeah,
it's the Bahamas. It's probably hot as balls.
Did you see the video of them? The people that tried to leave. So there's a bunch of people that like were like, screw this, we want to get out of here. They go back to the airport because remember they were private chartered in.
Right.
So they went to the Great Exuma Airport and the airport chained them in.
They locked them in the airport. Chains on doors.
Why?
Somebody passed out from the heat.
Yeah.
But why are they? Why couldn't they get? Why did they lock them in?
I guess I don't know. Nobody knows why. People were tweeting the U.S. Embassy like all day, like you need to do something about this. You need to get us out of here. It's a fucking shit show.
So now my thing is the type of people who would pay that much money.
Yeah, I'm struggling to feel bad. I'm really struggling.
I understand. Look, it's a terrible situation to be in when you, first of all, to pay for something and get swindled. Like, yeah. I hate that, like, that's.
So Dave and I were actually in this conversation in the car on the way back from dinner. It's like, well, what I don't like about this is like you're whether somebody is privileged or not or whatever, like you're still making fun of somebody's like
misfortune,
which is right. not something that we should do. It doesn't matter that. I mean, if I would have paid $12 for a concert and the headliner canceled or I showed up and it and
yeah, it's
and
like it, oh, I want my $12 back.
Well, I want my $12 back.
They canceled because they didn't get paid.
Right, Blink-182 canceled yesterday,
yeah. And they said we don't like. They sent out a mass tweet saying they're not going to make it and that we don't feel that this will be organized.
No, they said like this is not of like up to our quality of performance. Like the quality
they couldn't. So you know, like you ever hear that story about like Van Halen saying that they want M&Ms, but they had to pick out all the brown ones.
Right.
That was so that they would pay attention to the writer right. for all the other stuff because they wouldn't. That means that they would need. They would have already met the stage requirements because they were touring with these companies that, like in arenas that they didn't know if that stage was going to collapse.
Right.
So because it's the companies get outsourced, like or not outsourced, but locally. Mm-hmm. Locally done by the venue. So like that was almost like a safety mechanism. So like when bands say that clearly they couldn't handle the stage shit production side of things that they wanted and they couldn't handle the accommodations thing that side that they wanted, yo, that's a bad sign. Like,
so
that
this
means
is what this is Blink-182 statements. Regrettably, after much careful and difficult consideration, we want to let you know that we won't be performing at Fry Fest in the Bahamas this weekend and next weekend. We are not confident that we would have what we would need to give you the quality of performances that we usually give to our fans, yeah. Which I went to see Blink-182 this summer and it was a great fucking show.
Which so, they probably didn't expect a stage.
Exactly. They probably were like, "Oh, here, play on this like dirt pictures stage mound." Yeah. You know, like
well, like so that raises a lot of questions because I'm sure a lot of these questions have been answered throughout the course of like. The guy who worked with Ja Rule, that's that because no one expects Ja Rule to handle it.
Supposed to be there, and apparently last night, like he wasn't seen in Chicago last night, like nowhere near,
like he was like
a club in Chicago, yeah. Like, nowhere near this. So
that's what I'm saying. He's not the guy that fucked it up. I don't think Ja Rule,
he just had his name on it.
Yeah, he just
has his name on it, but that's not any better. Like you're like, no. He's now gonna be haunted by like this.
But that's before all this shit went bad. Now the guy who he's working with, who's that guy?
Bill something,
the investor.
Yeah, whoever that guy is fucked.
Yeah,
fucked.
Well, they're apparently like, and my thing with it isn't like to make fun of the people that are stranded or whatever. My issue is, how the fuck does this happen?
Yeah, like how many safety or stopgap measures?
That's the thing,
had
is that
to
you had to
through.
Have known that at some point, like you knew you weren't getting the numbers that you wanted to get. Like the numbers weren't you. Like why would you continue? Like you could have a week ago been like, listen, we didn't get the funding we thought we were going to be able to get. Like we're going to refund everybody's money. Show's canceled, and not waste everybody's time, and like not leave thousands of people stranded on a fucking random ass island in the middle of the Caribbean where nobody knows. These people haven't been fed. Like that's the thing is like you want to make fun of like people that have the money to spend $12,000 in a ticket to like a luxury music festival,
$250,000
or $250,000.
Well, I don't think most of those people are the $250,000.
Probably not.
I think the $250,000 people could pay to have a helicopter come get
right, you know? Exactly. The cheapest tickets, the lowest tier tickets were $2,000. Like $2,000, yes, it's a lot of money, but if you really wanted to do something for $2,000, you could find $2,000.
Yeah.
You can't find
I went to Japan. You
exactly.
know, Japan
you
cost
can't
me
find $250,000, but you could find $2,000.
Yeah.
You know?
$2,000 it cost me $1,900 for airfare, train passes and hotels for 2 weeks and for 12 days in Japan. So, I mean, you can do a lot for $2,000 that isn't just a festival weekend of
Right,
concert.
Yeah. And if you're like a millennial Instagrammer that really just wanted to be there to like take pictures and shit, which is really what these people more at the end of the day want to do, it doesn't, like, if you haven't been fed in 24 hours, you haven't been fed in 24 hours.
Right,
like,
it still sucks. Yeah, that sucks.
Well, they were showing stories of, like, apparently some guy was reporting that when they got off the plane, that the welcoming person or whoever was like, hey, come this way. Don't worry about your bags. Your bags are being taken
over there.
Yeah, they
were separated from their luggage.
They were separated from their luggage. And they're like, we're going to go to breakfast first and we will deliver your luggage to you later. And that this guy was saying that him and some friends were like, this seems shady as fuck.
Yeah.
And they found some locals and they're like, we want our luggage. And they like paid the guy some money. They took them. They got their luggage. They got on their phones. They got on Airbnb and they found themselves a place and they got like to figure it all out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because when the airport that they arrive into is not...
It's not the main airport.
It's not the private... Or that they didn't arrive at the like
the private jet people. The people who paid more money went to the private airport. The people who had the cheap
tickets. It was all privately chartered.
No, it was all privately chartered. But like, there's the
they were landing in the main airport.
Yeah, right. There's a main airport that people they landed in. That there's still like a town around there. It's not. Mm-hmm. There's homes. There's places that there's not
they're
hotels.
Not completely one separated.
Of the like
yeah.
Some of the accommodations were like these like luxury tents, but there was also supposed to be like luxury cabanas and villas and like actual structures that weren't like temporary structures that were supposedly for like the VIP, the right, $250,000 add-on, whatever. That's where those people were supposed to stay.
Right.
So people, the second they got there, it was like, oh, there's some flights that, because that's how we roll. A lot of these people left from here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The flight was out of Miami. The flight was out of Miami.
Sure.
And there's
because we're the closest airport to the Bahamas. Right there. It makes sense.
And then apparently it got to a point that Miami stopped doing the charter.
Yeah. They stopped sending people.
They stopped sending people. They're like, some shit's going down. Yeah, and those people were like super like.
Yeah, imagine you're that person where you're like, no, I want to go to, and then you hear what's going on, and you're like,
thank God I'm in Miami.
I hope they were apologetic if they caused problems at the airport, you know, because those people freak out. But like, I would like after traveling this weekend when I saw that, like flying from Dallas, where I was just mad at everybody for being self entitled and being like, we're all on this plane together. Yeah, these people being douchebags. I can only imagine.
We're all breathing the same recycled air, guys.
Yeah. But I can only imagine the people that were stuck in Miami bitching.
Yeah.
And then suddenly getting the information. Yeah. And then the tweets are coming in and they're like the Matrix just dodging bullets and shit like that. You know, like they're just like, oh my God, you saved our lives.
So the people that were flown out on Thursday are the ones that are stuck there. But then they canceled the flights like for the ones that were going to be flown out like today and tomorrow. So they released a statement saying that like, that through due to some like conditions that were like completely out of their control, which bullshit.
Yeah.
So they either got the money and did what embezzled it or did whatever the fuck they did with it, or they just didn't get the turnout that they had anticipated.
I hadn't heard anything about this until this.
I hadn't heard anything about this morning.
That's a bad sign.
I came across this. Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, I didn't even know this was a thing.
Yeah, I didn't know this was a festival.
I saw a BuzzFeed article about, Fire Festival is descending into chaos. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? So I opened it and I read about this.
Same.
I follow Kendall Jenner. Like, I don't remember her posting.
Yeah, like,
follow these people. Like,
I wonder, because what I've been seeing is the tweets that kind of schadenfreude, like people making fun of these rich white people for having paid all this money and having it go bad. And then kind of the what they're calling, like a lot of people are assuming it's an overreaction, like the tweets are an overreaction.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't think so.
Now that it's more information, because at the beginning it was like it seemed like just a bunch of rich white people bitching about the fact that they have to stay in a tent or something.
Right.
And then now that more and more of it's coming out, I'm like, yo, we should be making fun.
Well,
of
like
these
news
people.
Outlets have arrived there. Like BuzzFeed got there today, and they've been reporting live. Like they've.
I hate that we refer to BuzzFeed as a news outlet.
I mean, they're the ones that are there right now, and they have a live stream going on, and they're like, you know, they're the only ones.
That's
that are
because
there.
Their motherfucker paid money to go.
I'm
go
sure
to a
it did,
show.
But I mean, you know, they're the first ones to break the story.
Well, but apparently then another
or they're contributors
fake news you know, but they're the ones that are breaking the story about thousands of people stranded on an island.
But apparently a lot of people, another issue that they're having is that people that showed up there's no outlets, like electrical outlets.
Yeah, yeah.
So they can't charge their phones. So there was like a bunch of tweets coming up from people who were like, my phone's dying. I don't have my passport. I don't have this U.S. embassy.
Oh, right. Yeah, I heard that they were that because of the bag, they were separated from their bags or something like that. Or
that people didn't have all their stuff.
Or somebody
with
had
them.
Their bags stolen and their passports missing. Or that people were stealing shit. Like the locals had been robbing the fucking luggage.
Because they separated them from everything.
Yeah.
Those little tents, like, so people were, and their phones are dying because there was no.
Mm-hmm.
There's no electricity.
There was no electricity. So these people are like, somebody, please send help.
Yeah, now. Yeah. But I saw that, it was from a specific guy that I saw tweets that about that. And then that guy apparently was one of the first people to, like make a big deal out of it. And everyone was making fun of that guy.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Everyone was making fun of that dude.
Like, I'm like,
and
no.
Now, like, you know, that guy, like, I make fun of people for going to Coachella. You know what I mean? Like that, and it's fine. But I make fun of people for that festival, like, or the people who pay, like to go to Ultra and shit like that. Like, I make fun of that all the time. I will continue to make fun of you watching a DJ. Fuck you. But paying $1,000 to watch some guy press play on his MacBook. Fuck that. This was supposed to be also like a vacation package. Like,
yeah.
It's including travel. Like, this is a bigger deal than just showing up at Bonnaroo.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Leaving the country.
Yes.
You need a passport to get there.
Yeah, that to me is a bigger.
Fear is like, listen, I am putting my trust in you that I am leaving the country to a festival that you are sponsoring, that you are throwing on an island where I am giving you full control of everything because you're guaranteeing me that I will have, it's an empty island, like I will have a place to sleep,
right.
Food provided for me,
that's the thing is that like Coachella,
you know,
and Bonnaroo like doesn't include food.
Yeah,
this you include your food. Like this is, so like you're not even, you didn't even like, I mean, I'm sure these people have money because you can buy shit always, but like if you were one of these people that like is on a budget and like,
yeah,
you know, you scrounged together for the $2,000 ticket and you were just kind of like weren't planning on spending a lot of money, like what the fuck are you gonna do? I actually just came across this interesting tidbit of information. Seth Rogen tweeted out, said, this seems like a good time to mention that the movie we are making with The Lonely Island about a music festival gone horribly wrong.
No!
The Lonely Island was already making was in production on a movie about this. And then so The Lonely Island responded to him, for real, thinking about suing Fire Festival for stealing our idea.
Popstar never stop stopping.
That movie was way funnier than
amazing.
I thought that movie was way funnier than I thought it was going to be too.
Humble's an amazing song.
But that fucking guy, that, how awesome is that? The dude like with the interview, they had all that shit with North Korea where North Korea lost their shit, and now it just happens to be they're making a movie exactly about this shit.
Right.
It reminds you of, do you ever see that Saturday Night Live sketch where it's like a morning talk show with Will Ferrell? And then, like, yes. Tim Meadows is the weatherman, yes, and then the teleprompter shuts off.
Yes.
And it descends, like, into, like, tribal chaos where they he's like, I've killed the weatherman. He's holding, like, Tim Meadows' head.
You didn't see Anchorman?
It sounds like Anchorman.
No, this is a sketch where he's like, the order of the hand shall be hurt. You know, he's like,
I'm Ron Burgundy. Yeah.
It's like that, but on steroids. Like, the morning talk show, like, the teleprompter breaks. And then it comes, then they've murdered the guy, and then all of a sudden the teleprompter's working again, and they're like, this weekend we're going to be talking about nachos or whatever. Like, it just like goes back to normal. I don't know.
Apparently there's like not even running water. Like,
yeah, I read, that it's was one of the things that I read, that like somebody tried to take a shower condition. And the water was like yellow. Yeah.
It reminds me of when that cruise ship got stranded. Remember when that cruise ship was like shit in the aisles and
my
stuff?
My aunt was on one of those carnival ships.
She was.
The one that got stranded for 5 days?
For 5 days. She
the
was
Freedom?
Out of, she, yeah, she was on that ship. Because my aunt doesn't fly. She's like one of these women that's like super paranoid about fucking everything.
And look what happened.
So she doesn't fly. The only traveling she really does is cruises. Or driving to Disney, because that's like whatever. Like, my cousin was in like Top Gun and did all these cheer competitions across the country. They drove everywhere.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
Yeah,
it was.
Remember, bringing it back to Japan, remember when they talked about putting a bullet train here in Florida? Why haven't we fucking done that? That shit was great. It took me like...
Because it's going to create jobs, Mike.
Yeah, I know. Would you ever drive Orlando if there was a bullet train that took you there in like an hour and a half?
Maybe, depending on like what
If I was going without children, yes.
If I was going without children and if I was staying on resort property,
yes,
then fine. But if I, because sometimes we go to Orlando and we like want to do other things in Orlando that I need a car for, and like Ubers can
more
get
for Disney. I was, I'm talking about more for Disney.
If I was going to just Disney, I would like I would do it with Link. That's not a problem. Like,
well, yeah, if we're going just to Disney and we're staying on property where we don't need a car,
where I can like get on a bus or get on a monorail and then come back home, then yes.
Man, I still can't believe, like of all people, Ja Rule. Like, why Ja Rule? Like, why do we have to know
because
his name again?
Someone tweeted, it was like, oh, so you paid, you're crying because you paid $12,000 to go see a concert from 2002.
Yeah.
Because it was Ja Rule and Blink-182.
It's so weird.
I'm reading, I just found an article, it's about this guy that he's a talent producer. And he says that he was offered a job with this Fyre Festival. In early March, and that he worked there for 4 days, and he walked out because he said this is a night. This was gonna be a freaking nightmare. He says that as of March 14th, he flew into Miami to then go to the island of Gran Exuma to see where the planning had been. At what point they were in. He goes, they landed. Nothing was set up. Nothing was even started in pre-production. There was this development lot, apparently this was supposed to be a private K that was owned by Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, I read that.
That's legit.
Yeah, this was a development lot covered in gravel with tractors scattered all over the place. There was not even space had been built for the tents, the green rooms, nothing. There was not a long, beautiful beach. There were, however, a lot of sand flies, and he says, ooh, a lot of sand flies that left me looking like I had smallpox.
Lovely.
Oh, man.
His job was to be the talent coordinator, and he was supposed to coordinate the travel for an on-site logistics for the acts. He says, as of March 14th, nothing had been started.
That's insane.
Nothing had been done. Festival vendors weren't in place. No stage has been rented. Transportation had not been arranged. Frankly, everybody was standing around in a gravel pit and no one had any idea how we were going to build a festival village from scratch. This was in March 14th. The guy said he lasted 4 days. He says, on Wednesday, Ja Rule arrived for a site visit. I don't know if he actually visited the site, but he did spend a lot of time on his yacht, according to his Instagram. Meaning the event planners were holed up indoors, putting together a game plan and a budget. He says, I lasted 4 days. After the fourth day, I flew back to Miami and I resigned from the position.
That's nuts.
That is not okay.
I'm just, you know, like, so many things had to, like, just think about how many
March,
things had to
like
fall
a month
through
ago,
the cracks.
You knew that this was not.
Yeah, like,
yeah, there was no
how,
way.
How?
But I was reading people saying that they knew, like, they kept seeing signs, like, that things weren't going well. And they were like, well, we're going to go anyway. And like hope that they put it together. I'm like, no.
This is the best thing. I have to read this. I cannot explain how or why the bros running this festival ignored every warning sign they were given along the way. The writing was on the wall. I saw it firsthand 6 weeks ago. They overlooked so many very basic things. And baby, they forgot to make me sign an NDA.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Well, that's
the best line I've ever read.
That's if it funny. Was like in the United States and I paid that much money and like I could figure out a way to get out of there, mm-hmm. then fine. Because like there's Uber everywhere.
Right.
Or it's like what happened in Woodstock 99. Remember Woodstock 99?
Yeah, it was a shit. It was a nut house.
That or like everybody, like while Limp Bizkit was performing, they just started ripping shit apart. They lit shit on fire. They were raping people. Like everyone could scatter into other land. Like this is an island. You can't.
Like there's water.
Like at a certain point. At a certain point, the first thing I would have done with my cell phone is I would have called a Bahamian boat company. I'm like, yo, send me your biggest fucking boat. Here's my credit card number. I need a boat here. I need someone. We're by the ocean. Come get us.
Right.
And listen, and at that point, that's when you look around. Who's the bougiest fuck person here?
Yeah, let me go be your
You're
friend.
You're my new best friend. We need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Call daddy. Get a credit card. We need to go.
I would have just set up camp. I would have dramatically improved my situation. I would have made a fishing rod out of something, and I'd be like, no, I'm gonna spear me some fish. I'm cast away this motherfucker up. Boom. I'll start my own festival.
No, this is that opportunity stuff. This was that moment of just like, I'm going to save some rich people.
Yeah.
I'm going to get them out of this fucking island. Yep. And they're going to be my new BFFs for
new
life.
New BFFs, yeah. I'm just like, you know what? You know what's going to suck, though? Because here's, I'm like, someone tweeted this out and I can't remember who, but it's like, because there's going to be so many of these assholes there that write a piece that they now think they are even more important than they are.
Of course.
So we're going to get a lot of stories afterwards where they're comparing their experience to like the Syrian refugee crisis. And I'm just going to be like, what? You can go fuck yourself right in the A.
Yeah, like my thing, like I'm not even, okay, yeah, these people, they're going to get home. They're going to be fine. You know, it sucks and they're the situations.
Oh, if someone dies, oh my God.
Oh no, if someone dies, holy it's already shit. Like somebody well, already passed out. Like that's already enough of a thing. But if someone gets like seriously injured or like
or sick,
they should call the Coast Guard and just have them land right there on the
international waters. What are they going to do?
But the U.S.
they
is could, a different country. Help,
No. But like Bahamian, the Bahamian embassy, they call the Coast Guard for aid. They can use Coast Guard for aid.
But you think that Trump is going to give a shit about these?
Trump doesn't make that call.
Kind of. He's the executive, is in charge of the military. So
if they're calling for rapid rescue from a Bahamian military source.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean? There's a difference. There's a difference between whatever Trump. This is not a big deal thing. This is a now thing. And you send the fucking people
maybe
out.
There's probably some of his besties' kids out there. Mm-hmm. Oh. He's going to want to take care of them.
Yeah.
Remember?
That's the only thing that saves these people is that, like, a good majority of them probably have money and, like, are well-connected.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're and are constituents of the president, so if you...
That
might be like the deciding factor to get them to like push anything. I haven't seen anything about any like statements or anything from the government though. So
I feel like these people who would go to something like this would be like the first people to die off in an apocalypse.
Oh yeah,
this could be the beginning.
You know what I mean? On Unsung Heroes, we did a thing about the apocalypse. Like when Trump got inaugurated, that was our theme. Was which apocalypse do you want? You know, whatever. And so we were all talking about what skill do you have as your like apocalypse survival skill. And I think like the poorer you are, the more of those skills you have.
Oh yeah.
Right? Like how to cook something or like you know if you know how to cook whatever the heat source is, I'm sure you can figure it out. You know what I mean? Like you make something. You know, like hunting or fishing and all that stuff. Like every redneck is going to thrive. You know, in the
post. Why do you think Daryl Dixon is like the shit of Walking Dead?
But I'm telling you, like in an event like this, the demographic who would not be there would be the best equipped to handle something like that.
Of course.
You know, like rubbing mud on them. So there's sand flies. You got to make sure you rub this mud on there, not that mud because that has the eggs. You know, like you know, we have sand fleas here. Like we have mosquitoes here. Like you kind of know what to do.
I got sand flea attacked in Naples once and it was the worst.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, see, my, it sounds that's what I'm awful. Saying, like my idea with this whole thing is like these people are gonna be home, they'll be fine, everything's gonna be okay. Knock on wood, hopefully nobody dies. But I really, 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 really wanna know like the inner workings of this shit.
Yeah.
Like how did this go so bad?
Yeah, this is like one of those like you know, epic fail moments where it's like
days
put on a festival.
The what?
Yeah, one job.
Yeah. Because the term epic involves a long story and a journey to the destination. Yeah. This is literally an actual epic fail because there has got to be a lot leading up to
it. You don't just wake up one morning and decide, hey, I'm going to throw a music festival next year.
It feels like this festival was put on by April Ludgate.
How many crimes happened behind the scenes? Money laundering, bribing, false advertising, all this stuff. Like how many things fell through the cracks of illegal shit that they thought they were going to get away with? Because imagine how much money they made
at the safest link.
You know what I mean? Like imagine how much money came
that's
in.
Why? Like it has to be there. So, like, as if this guy is saying he was hired as the talent coordinator in March, and the shit was already a nightmare.
But March wasn't that long ago.
That's why.
That was 6 weeks ago.
So if 6 weeks ago it was already downhill.
Yeah.
When was it good?
When they thought of it.
When Ja Rule was really fucking high and thought it would
happen,
be good.
Though? Like I really never heard of
it. I never heard of it either. But here's the thing, like that's the problem, is that the idea sounds all right. Like, man, if you had
it's like communism, it doesn't sound bad on paper. The execution is shit.
No. Well, it still sounds bad on
paper. If I had money to burn, if I was single, if we had expendable income,
Forget the single thing, because if you have that much money, you hire a nanny.
Exactly. Yeah.
What I'm saying is that, like, it sounds, honestly, if it's, let's say Atlantis sponsored this festival, and one of their islands, or one of the major cruise lines that has their own private island, was
if this was on the island of Atlantis, if Atlantis was like, I'm going to have
Paradise Island Resort, not the mythical Atlantis.
Well, that would be even better. Yeah.
Atlantis rises from the ocean.
Oh, no, I want to go down there.
Oh, you want to go in the bubble?
Yeah. This is...
Yeah.
I want to, like, you know...
Black Manta helmet?
See, okay, let's go with that one, because where I was going, it was insulting to my own sensibility. I was going to say, like, the Jar Jar thing, and it's just not working.
Oh, no, you went Gungan?
Yeah, so that's why I didn't even want to say the words out of my mouth.
Yeah. Misa think you's a moron.
Exactly. I was like, I'm not even saying it.
No, but I totally get what you're saying. Like, if it was sponsored by... like a bigger, like a venue of any kind, like, because they have those rockin' cruises, right? The Frank dude didn't do Shiprocked and all that stuff.
Yeah,
those are fun as fuck. Like, those look great, and because it's all self-contained, all the infrastructure's there, the stages are there, the food is there.
It's already there. You're just bringing
the people. You're bringing the passengers, and you're bringing the audience and the performers.
Right.
That's it.
If Paradise Island said we're gonna have a Coachella Bonnaroo type.
Yeah.
Festival, and I'm sure they might do it. Who
they
knows?
Should. Yeah. They should if they capitalize
like,
on this.
Someone seeing this is watching them do all the things wrong and is like, we're going to make it better.
Well,
my idea would be to do a cruise. Like a club cruise, like where it's just all EDM, whatever.
That's what that is, the Groove Cruise.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you go to that private island, and guess what? You're going to watch Blink-182.
Do it on the fucking Bimini Superfast.
Yeah.
That's 2 hours to Bimini, and then, you know, you party in Bimini.
Yeah.
Well, like, I have a friend of mine that we work with that I basically believe that she spends every other weekend in Jamaica.
If she can do that, why
wouldn't
you?
Listen, she works hard. She's...
Oh, yeah, I'd be in Jamaica.
And she makes the money she can do it, but she goes all the time, and she's constantly going to Jamaica to different festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Without a problem. So she flies to Jamaica, goes to the festival. It's an amazing time. Comes back, no problem. It's at a hotel. I think it was the private island. We're going to make this fantasy world promise
I can't wait to hear what it was. I can't wait to hear why they still thought they could pull it off. I can't wait to hear that.
Well, no, yeah. At what point do you just like listen? Just stop. But it had to be that somebody
stole the money.
They said
there were circumstances that were out of their control. Bullshit out of your control.
If in March,
it's entirely under your control to say trip canceled.
Exactly.
No, and if in March you are going to a site visit and there is gravel, it doesn't look like it's disgusting. There's no beautiful watery beaches. Obviously, the land that you've been promised.
Yeah, you got lied to too.
Is not what it's supposed to be. At that point, you're like, listen, let's switch the venue. I'm sure you can get a piece of land on some resort that they will give you with enough money.
There's some hotel that would have been willing to sponsor that
shit. Of course.
Yeah. Maybe there wasn't. Maybe they didn't have like the insurance or something. Because you need to have a lot of legal shit to be able to have that.
But that's the thing is, it's like, this is not something that you just wake up and decide you want to do in a month. Like,
right.
It takes a lot of planning.
It was an epic fail. Series of failures led to a journey of failures led to this.
Well, these people are going to get sued.
Sure.
I'm sure there's going to be a shit ton of investigation, and we'll find
out. And internationally, too. Like the Bahamian.
Oh, yeah.
How many Bahamian officials got their palms greased
to
let some of this shit happen
and like the Bahamas is a tourist destination, but most of those islands are second and third world nations that have like really corrupt governments and stuff, so you don't know like what
the Bahamas is. Wilderness, like a private island is wild.
Yeah
You can't just be like, hey, this island is inhabited now by mosquitoes, you can't do that.
There's wild pigs that like live like,
I'm telling you, man, someone's going to kill him. I would kill a pig. I'd be like, I'm Cuban. Let's find me a box.
I know how to roast. You can do it on stones. I've seen my uncles do it every year.
You can do anything with anything. If you kill any fish you pull out of that ocean is edible, basically raw.
Yeah.
So go to town.
Look, you wanted to know the guy's name is Billy McFarlane.
I know it was a Mac something.
Today he did an interview for People Magazine. He says that him and Ja Rule We're in the process of planning the festival and we're very excited until a lot of reality and roadblocks hit. The island didn't have a really great infrastructure. There wasn't a great way to get guests in here and we were a little bit ambitious. There wasn't water and sewage systems. It was almost like we tried to build a city out of nothing and it took almost all of our personal resources to make this happen. Everything we had to make the festival a go. We thought we were ready and built two different festival sites. On the morning of the festival, McFarland said a bad storm came in and took down half of our tents and busted water pipes. That was what he said. The organizer realized that they can't do this. We were on a rush job to fix everything and guests were arriving and that caused check-in to be delayed. We were overwhelmed and just didn't have the foresight to solve all these problems.
Man, that's a bad businessman who doesn't see that you fucking... I don't care how much money you lose, you cancel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if I don't buy that story that a storm came in overnight, because if that was the case, like that shit would still be there. Like nobody's cleaned it up. Like we would have seen.
Yeah, you would have seen the damage.
Snaps of that. Like,
and so where's Steven Starr's food?
Exactly.
Did it blow? It blew away.
It blew away in the storm.
Because don't take catering for that much. I mean, I work in events. Like the logistically, you don't take catering for that many people for that many days. In one shot, in one trip, like you have to.
You don't stockpile it.
You don't stockpile it and put it all on a plane. Like
to be blown away
little by little, like
by a mythical storm.
Right. Exactly. Like there's not. No.
It was a surprise hurricane, you guys. It came in and just
that only affected that one tiny island because the rest of us did not feel it.
And it was not on any news because you don't think that
a giant storm,
this beautiful venue, is created. And a storm hits and not one media outlet covered the massive storm that destroys.
Yeah.
Not only that, like how, like you hired obviously a shitty, if that's your, if we're buying that story, like your contractors are shitty. Yeah. And there's plenty, like, listen, Bahamas has to have, like, there's buildings there that withstand hurricanes. Like it happens every fucking summer.
No, no, no. It's clearly bullshit.
You're a fucking liar, Billy McFarland.
McFarland is hopeful that a fire festival 2018 will come to fruition.
Okay, sweetie.
Yeah.
Sure, Jan.
Saying that makeup dates in May 2018 will be free for everybody who signed up for this festival.
You mean the ones who signed their names on the blank computer paper?
Along with granting guests free passes, he said they will be donating $1.50 per ticket to the Bahamian Red Cross.
$1.50 off of a $250,000 ticket?
Nobody's getting their money back. That guy's going to disappear to the Bahamas and create a new life for himself.
Class action lawsuit is what's going to happen.
He's going to walk away from that and he's going to change his identity.
He looks like a fuckboy.
I'm not gonna judge
by
an appearance. By his actions alone, he sounds like one of these guys who would go to this festival,
right?
You know what I mean? Like he sounds like the kind of guy who would do it. He's like, this is what I would enjoy, and then it's like, well, how do we do it? And he's like, solve it. It's like, oh, I just throw money at problems, and then it's like, yeah, well, it didn't solve it this time. Where he's like, like, I don't have any more money to throw at this problem. It's like, well. People are going to sue you now.
Yeah.
Like the fact that he's even saying
next year
that there's going to be a 2018.
Which, look,
to
be fair, if he does it again, I guarantee you people will go.
Of course they will. They want to see how it's going to compare.
For the sheer, like, that weird morbid curiosity of, like, are they going to fuck up again? And they're going to be super picky and they're going to be, like, looking at everything, waiting for failure, you know?
Of course.
That's like the
like everybody who flies United.
After I flew United, everyone was talking about it. But the people I had that issue with the flight attendant guy, the guy in front of me, I go to the flight the head of the flight crew. I was like, yeah, no, it's like, you know, we would have had to drag him out here, would have been a problem. And he's like, yeah, you know, ever since that United thing, people are real jerks about stuff because they're expecting
us to be jerks.
They want to be bumped from a flight. If he would have got kicked off the flight, it wasn't because of overbooking. It was because of a problem. The FAA would have pulled him off, and they would have been all.
I was going to say, like, if you're kicked off of a flight because of irate behavior, like you can get put on a no fly list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And good luck ever being able to fly anywhere. So.
Yeah, it's not a United thing. So I flew United right after, and everyone was super nice. It was like that recovery period of, like, the day after.
Their flights are super cheap now, though.
They have to be.
Well, yeah.
Nobody wants to fly.
Well, that's why I flew them in the first place. They were the cheapest on the list of flights.
I went on a Carnival cruise. Like, I booked a Carnival cruise like 2 weeks after that whole crap because I was like, my friends and I were doing a bachelorette.
With United? You're talking about the stranded.
When they got stranded. Yeah. We booked a 3-day cruise for $175.
I'm telling you, like, if there's a plane crash, fly immediately after. When do you hear about two planes crashing in the same week? Never.
I'm laughing because I just found the tweet of Ja Rule.
Oh yeah, he wrote this whole message where he's like, "It's not my fault, but I'm taking responsibility."
It's totally like the I'm gonna take the blame, but it's not my fault.
Right? Yeah.
Like basically, it's like we are working right now on getting everyone on the island safe. That is my immediate concern. I will make a statement soon. I'm heartbroken at this moment. My partners and I wanted this to be an amazing event.
He didn't write that.
It was not a scam, as everyone is reporting. I didn't know how everything went so left, but I'm working to make it right by making sure everyone is refunded. I truly apologize, as this is not my fault, but I'm taking responsibility. I'm deeply sorry to everyone who was involved in this. Listen, if it's not your fault and it's not a scam, don't capitalize "not your fault" and "not a scam."
No.
That's what's standing out to me.
Yeah, that is.
No. I agree. It's written poorly, but I agree with him that he put his name on something and put some money down to expect some money back in return. And then that's it. He was a hands off. Like, yeah, one of these guys.
But a lot of celebrities, when they endorse a product or endorse something, like, that's what happens. They put like maybe 2-3% of what the actual cost is, just to like be a investor, producer, or whatever.
Like on TV shows, like the first whoever directs the pilot makes a cut of every show that gets made. Like literally, people direct pilots and they get set for life. Like the guy who directed the pilot for some of these shows that run forever is still getting paid. You know, so like and executive producers are like producers in name only. They just kind of, we put the money down and that's it. We don't have a say in anything. Right. You know, so like they have that. I'm sure they have that. Like, they're just like, we need an investor and a name that we can use. I don't know why someone thought Ja Rule was like a good name to use. And Blink-182, it really is like a dated fucking lineup.
It is.
Well,
I still go to
throwback. In defense of Blink-182.
I would go to your concert.
But what I'm saying
right now
is old.
I went to their concert in July.
Right.
They have a new album that they released like a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
It's been their only Billboard top 40 since All the Small Things. It was great.
But that was like a decade and a half ago.
Well, yes, but...
But I'm saying, like, why be that your headliner?
Still okay.
I'm not saying they're bad. I'm saying it's old. Like, they reached their peak popularity.
But they have a new album to promote. That's why.
Sure. But I'm saying, Ja Rule is not in that position.
No.
Then,
at all.
Why is he the guy that you put as your... Whatever.
Because he wants to... Had this been a success, I guarantee you in 2 months you would have seen a new Ja Rule album.
Yeah.
Listen.
You know?
Look, I'm just saying...
He was riding the Hamilton... mixtape,
exactly,
like fame of him and Resurgence.
He was on a Hamilton mixtape.
Yeah,
Hamilton mixtape.
Do you know what they did with the Hamilton mixtape?
They took the songs from Hamilton and had the people.
Yes,
different people.
And so one of the songs from Hamilton, "Helpless," Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote it in the spirit of an Ashanti Ja Rule duet.
Right.
So for that song on the Hamilton mixtape, Ashanti and Ja Rule came in and did the song.
That's dope.
It's amazing.
Sure.
So, but that's the only thing he's fucking dope. Done in 10
that's
years.
That's dope for 15 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
But
for
back
us.
When, but back when TRL was still a thing.
14-year-old me, when I heard that.
Super excited.
Yes, yeah. When when I saw that track listing and I saw the artist listing, I had a physical reaction where I like
the
jumped
one where you saw the Victoria Beckham
when I saw,
Target
like, exactly,
line.
Like,
well,
when
considering the fact that because
Victoria
this is
Beckham
an,
what?
Victoria Beckham has a line for Target, like a clothing line.
She's very excited.
And Stephanie was very excited.
Well, like, you guys...
I have a video.
This is an audio podcast, so you did not see, as Stephanie and Mike were talking, that Vanessa says something about... Because nobody fucking cares about Ja Rule. And I just gave her, like, the longest death
stare. She wouldn't
stare
stop staring
on Earth.
At me. It was,
and I was like,
really
leave
uncomfortable.
Fucking Ja Rule alone. I'm like, that's Ja Rule Ashanti. You leave him the fuck alone.
But Ashanti has nothing to do with this right now.
If you ask a 20-something...
Oh, they don't know who the fuck...
They're going to be like, what?
Who?
Who's Ja Rule? The guy that went to prison?
Didn't Ja Rule's kid, like... Didn't, like, his latest... Like, the before the Hamilton mixtape... Like, I remember the last time I saw Ja Rule. Wasn't it that, like, his kid was, like, dating, like, Rev Run's daughter, friends with Rev... Like, he was on that Rev Run show.
Oh, Run's House. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he showed up on that show, and, like, he had a... His kid is, like...
Because he was a rapper. I mean, it's not like you can take away his money, but like either or his like success. But it's in the past.
Yeah,
it's clearly in the past.
Yeah, it's definitely not.
No, this is the best because everybody's. It's become the new hashtag. Alternative facts is. People are saying this is the only way I'm apologizing from now on. I truly apologize. This is not my fault, but I'm taking responsibility. Yeah.
I do.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, yeah. I do think he feels bad. Like, I mean, because honestly, the caring about people's safe thing is a great thing to say. Marketing, like PR-wise.
I was going to say, like, he has... His publicist wrote this. He didn't...
No, I mean, he may
I'm sure he feels bad. I mean, his name is on it. People are going to blame him regardless of whether he takes responsibility or not. People are still going to blame him because until Christy said that he had a partner... I was under the impression that this was Ja Rule's idea.
Yeah. Ja Rule put all this together.
Exactly. That's why I was like, well, duh. Of course it did.
Well, yeah, that's why he was in those places that were not involved in the whole show. Because the business partner is the guy. And the guy fucked up big. Apparently, man, how do you not see? I just know that there's going to be a lot of postmortem on this.
Yeah.
People are going to come out of the woodwork. And some of it's going to be unbearably like... self-centered and we were stuck in the way. It's a show. Okay, good, fine, whatever. But then there's going to be a lot of like real the fleecing of the millennial kid, rich kid, you know, right. Like this is how easy it is to fuck with rich young people's money, you know what I mean? Because there's for sure there are people who invested with this guy who are quiet.
I was gonna say like they're
gonna sue the fuck out of this guy for billions.
This guy did not go into this alone. Like, this is not the sole investor. He was just the guy that was willing to put his name out.
He's the guy.
I'm sure they're silent partners
organizing it for sure. No, investors are silent or otherwise. There are people that for sure dropped a ton of money. Where if this guy shows up ends up dead somehow, I'd be like, well, yeah, I wouldn't be a stretch. I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. Whether someone did it or he did it himself.
Yeah, because I'm sure this was... Because a lot of entertainment started as money laundering fronts. Like, the bigger those studios started as... Like Chicago and New York and a lot of entertainment venues and all these things. And Vegas for sure. But, like, what then became Hollywood is money laundering. Like, there are still people now, like a lot of those like German money like there's foreign investors throwing tons of money into films that they know they're not going to get back, because then they can use it as
like a write-off.
As like, there's a story about the guy who made, I can't remember what movie, some cheesy 80s movie, 90s movie, like Three Ninjas or some shit like that. but his like first movie was literally a mob front, and he was like trying to make the movie and he was like struggling to make it work, and they're like, yo, stop making the movie because they can claim insurance on it, like the fucking producers.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point they were like, he finished the movie, and then the people who originally invested in were like, what's wrong with you? We put everything in your path to keep it from getting done. He's like, well, I made it, so whatever. I don't know.
In conclusion,
yeah,
I hope everybody makes it off that island safely.
Me too. Because
that sounds like, doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, that's a shitty situation.
It's a shitty situation.
I just really hope we find out. Like, I hope this is not the story that we get.
No, it's not.
No, there's going to be more.
This is breaking right now.
There's no way. There's too many people involved. There's too many people with too much. No, there's too much access to information for us not to find out more.
I'm concerned for like the well-being of the people, and their women especially. You know, like because there's that much like group anger and all that craziness. There's always dudes that try to take advantage of those situations.
Well, some of the tweets were saying that people were getting into fights with even fighting with the people in the airports because they were being locked in. So
yeah, that's going to come up as a big problem.
It's on video. It's up the guys like this is like freaking Lean on Me, like when he started chaining the doors, like they showed big black metal chains, like the big lock, and the security guard walking up to the door and just chaining it, and then like you see other people like going, why are we here?
Yeah,
like this is hardcore, like a big freaking, and like there wasn't AC, there wasn't, to the point that like somebody passed out, so they ended up unchaining the door and opening the door just to let air in. Because I think it seems the people were not unruly inside. It seems they have reached the limit of the people that they were going to allow in that airport.
Try to not keep people out. They were trying to keep people out, not to keep people out. In. Yeah.
So I think that
Ninja.
I think that because of that is why they must have chained it. But I was like, but that's still like, you just walk up to the door and just like,
we'll find out more. We'll find out more. In
Look,
conclusion.
I mean, not to like bring the room down, but like I know one of the priests at my church growing up always said, like, we're only 3 days away from chaos. Like, take away food for 3 days.
Oh, yeah. No. That's a standard.
This has been 24 hours.
Yeah, like in the fire department and all that stuff. When I was in the fire academy, you know, like, we did some, urban search and rescue stuff that we went over, like, hazmat and all that stuff. And one of the things was the life safety element of those situations, like an incident command, like when you have a long-term incident, mass casualty incident, stuff like that. One of them is food for your people and the people who are being brought out. So it's like food and water and all those things have to be accounted for.
I saw a video of somebody on Snapchat said that they hadn't had water in over 24 hours.
Yeah. Those people, they're in danger of like, literally dehydration, heat stroke, heat cramps,
exactly.
any kind of heat emergency is hyperthermia is going to be a big problem, because then they have to unchain the doors to get people in there to rescue, and they're private island. I'm sure there's no ambulance close by. Yeah. Like,
well, that's what you think about it. When you travel, like, just you are going on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the kids.
Like, I just
forget,
did.
Yeah, forget the like us traveling with children or anything like that. That we overpack. But you're going on vacation, you're single people going to a festival or whatever, right. You're gonna have your
that you
suitcases.
Expect to have everything taken care of for
That's
you
the other
already
thing. It's not like you go to Bonnaroo or Coachella on a regular ticket, like, you know, you're camping out, you know, like what to expect. This is something where I was told I will pay one price and everything will be taken care of for me.
Okay, I've been to all inclusives. I don't know if you guys have.
Sure.
But so if you go to an all inclusive, when you went on that vacation, you got on the plane, you have your clothes and your suitcase and your shampoo or whatever that you wanted to bring, which now you can't even bring that much because it's like two little things. You've got the regulations that regardless you have to deal with regarding what you could bring on the plane. So you couldn't bring like bottles of water and all this stuff anyway, because you're limited anyway.
Yeah.
You get on this island, you're expecting, you know, to go to the resort.
I'm expecting to get off a plane and have a fucking mimosa in my hand in 30 seconds.
Yeah. You're going to get to
it's a luxury resort. You were expecting a luxury resort experience. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that like, oh man, there's so many questions.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like,
so
I really,
many questions.
Like, because exactly, like, I've gone to like, in Punta Cana and like Casa de Campo and some
where
of the
there's not a lot there.
But they take you from the airport
to the resort,
straight to
and
the resort.
Nowhere else.
And nowhere
you go wait from there straight to Casa Campo, and you live basically for the week that I was there for this destination wedding in the resort area.
Yeah.
There, like, it's pretty far. Like, there was a grocery store, like grocery village, like in the freaking resort. But like, you drive around in your little golf carts, like you said.
But then,
like,
in Costa Rica, that everything was there, and then they had the seafood buffets and that stuff.
And
I'm sorry, the buffets with, you know, all the food already ready, like they plan for that sort
of
thing.
Well, think about it. What did you bring with you on that trip?
To Japan.
You didn't bring extra bottles of water.
Like,
you didn't bring.
No,
like,
but I'll tell you when I went to, because even then when I went to Japan, like, I had at a certain point, we were going out and on like all day things. We thought about that, like, maybe we're not going to get to a restaurant right away. Let's have some snacks in our bag for when we get hungry. And we made snacks with the breakfast buffet. You know, you make sandwiches. You take the breakfast buffet and you make your sandwiches. I'm still pretty Cuban. And then had all that stuff. You got to think ahead. But that's because we knew we were going out.
But
we
when
knew
you
what was
arrived
happening.
From the States to Japan and you got off your plane in Japan, did you have like a supply of things with you?
No.
Because you were going to a hotel.
Right.
And
with
that's
access
where these
to all that stuff.
And
or even like look on a cruise, like cruises are all inclusive for, you know, for all intents and purposes. Like, I don't take shit on a cruise other than my clothes. Like,
yeah. You don't need to.
Yeah. So if I'm expecting that same kind of luxury, because it is a luxury to not have to worry about where your food's going to come from. If I'm expecting that same kind of luxury and then like I'm showing up, like, not only have I not eaten in hours, like when I do eat, it's a fucking like It's like craft,
a shitty sandwich.
Like craft singles that have been left out all day. Like,
and they don't even say like these people got like what they got with that. Like, did they get a bottle of water? Did they get anything? Because all we've seen is that little.
You know, like that's the weird dichotomy. We see people like making fun of these rich white people in a struggling situation, which is fair to make fun, but you can't separate. Like, I do think it's funny that it's happening to like Chads and you know, like
and like Zach's.
Yeah.
Kelly's like, totally having a bad day.
Or just like, you know, that kind of group, and they're having to struggle a little bit. And to a certain point, it would be funny if it was not like, oh shit, this is real. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like when you're like, my brother and I would fight all the time, and it was always funny until someone said like, I'm serious. And they're like, stop, I'm serious. And then you're like, fine, whatever. And then it got to the point where it's serious. You know, you're like, I'm serious. It's like, oh, all right, fine.
Because there's a little bit of humor when they show you videos or a photo of like Douchey McDoucherson in his like tank top and like his trucker hat signing the little computer paper asking for his refund.
Yeah.
Like, as I saw that picture,
it is pretty funny.
And I looked at the guy like, and I'm like, well, obviously he's dressed in what, you know, he brought for the festival.
You know, like, how many drugs
do you think those people were on where all of a sudden they were like,
God,
oh no.
I didn't even think about that.
How high do you, they got off, I guarantee you.
They got off of a private chartered plane. Yeah.
Rolling balls.
Bro, could you imagine, like, if you got off that and you thought that you were hallucinating that and then you came to and you're like, no, shit, this is real.
Can you imagine you're like shrooming out, LSD'd out, or Molly'd out, or whatever, and then all of a sudden you're like,
this is a bad trip.
No.
Or like, you waited until, can you imagine, like, you get on the plane, everything's great, and like, there's like, oh, we arrived in, you know,
you
the Bahamas.
There, you were drunk from being
and
on the plane.
And then all of a sudden, and then like, right there, you grab your bag and you're like, and it's on. And like, they just like popped, or like, whatever they were going to take at the airport right then and there as soon as they arrived.
Let me tell you this. Imagine a Molly hangover.
In that world,
I've never had a Molly hangover. You've never been on ecstasy.
With no water.
The way it's been described.
I've only had
like a regular alcohol
hangover.
Molly,
I've never done drugs. So.
Post Molly is like super depression, like condensed depression.
Okay,
it's the opposite of Molly. Like, okay, to 10,000.
That makes sense.
And like, dehydration level is
through the roof.
Through the roof. So if these people were coming off of anything without liquid,
somebody's
going to die.
Yeah, someone's going to die. And also you're also suffering from literally like chemical depression on top of this scenario.
Awesome.
Oof.
Awesome.
Oh my God.
No. There's so many. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, that's going to get tweeted. That's pretty funny.
All right.
I'm never not a comedian.
Anyway, Mike, where can we find you?
Yes.
Oh, well, right now, Unsung Heroes, if you're in New York, you can come every Thursday at the Creek in a Cave, 8 o'clock, or you can listen to it at zerosonheroes.com. Zeros on Heroes. People, give me... Zeros and Heroes are spelled correctly. Z-O-R... I'm sorry. Z-E...
You're jet lagged. It's okay.
There was a silence right there.
Z-E-R-O-E-S. And on Heroes, spelled with the E-S at the end. That's correct. I'm grammatically correct.
Do people not think
that? I'm telling you. They're like, oh, you have... Why is zeros with an E? And I'm like, because it's fucking zeros.
Do you know that there's another podcast similar called Zeros Talking Heroes?
Did it start before or after us?
After. And they have last time I checked, they only had
They probably Four stopped episodes? And renamed it like when Neri and I started late to the party.
Well,
That's super inside.
But such a bad name.
That's the podcast.
I like that name.
I like late to the party podcast.
But the thing is, do you know why it's such a bad one? Because like, okay, back then, yes, cool. Right now, that's like the freaking
late to the
Kim
party.
Whatever song. For the party.
But it would have been like in every situation. In every situation, it would have been at least it would have been something to talk about. But that's
the
whole thing.
Landed on the Moon podcast.
Yeah, we landed on the moon. That's funny. I like that.
That's what you guys should have.
No, but you can at Zeros and Heroes on Twitter and Instagram, at Mike Mercadal on Twitter and Instagram. ZerosOnHeroes.com is where you can listen to our interview show, Zeros on Heroes, and Unsung Heroes. It's all on the same feed.
Nice.
And at Geek Bro Net.
And you can get you guys off of iTunes or?
We're iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Okay.
Yeah, I follow them on iTunes.
I listen to it on Pod. I listen. You can. I do it on. I have a app for the Android. I have Android now, so and it's just listed everywhere. Called Player FM. It's very good.
You?
Huh?
You have the Android?
I converted.
Oh, we were doing so well.
Yeah. I converted.
That's it.
It's but you see like. Do you see like different?
We can't FaceTime.
We want Lumber Bear back.
I still have an iPad and a MacBook.
Fucking Lumber Bear back.
Joking. So you kept you have an iPad.
Yeah, it's you guys.
So you haven't left the Apple world.
It's all right, guys. We're fine. I can still send messages to and from everybody. And
yeah, but now the messages are green. Uh-huh. But now the messages are green.
I use WhatsApp now because I don't trust iMessage.
I hate fucking WhatsApp.
I don't like iMessage.
That's another conversation.
I use that with my friends, but no, we use iMessenger on Facebook.
I mean, yeah, we use the Facebook.
Facebook Messenger is worse. It's like they steal tons of shit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've noticed.
Yeah.
It's really scary when you're having, really like, scary. A conversation in person, and then you're scrolling through Facebook, and like, you would like this thing.
And it's literally what you just talked about. Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
no, that happened
creepy.
To us on the show.
We got into the office.
Recently? No.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to go afterwards.
There's, like, Neri got these, like, mixed tiles made, like little canvases with, like, all, like,
the podcast logos.
The podcast logos.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. We were recording a Woobro. And I got on my phone for like a sec to just scroll through Instagram while Neri was getting everything together. And I got an ad for the fucking tiles.
That he had printed.
That we had just talked about that I was looking
at. I'm telling you, the shit's...
Fucking Big Brother is everywhere.
Yeah, we were on an episode and we were talking about this show on Hulu called The Path. Phones down. Nobody has touched the phones. And I go, yeah, because Aaron Paul now on the show is like, I started watching
it. Good.
It is. It's freaky as hell.
Yeah. Because
it was
good. I like
part
it.
Of our Scientology, like.
We have a Scientology arc.
A little bit.
Yeah. We talk about Scientology all the time because of the Leah Remini show. We're like obsessed with it.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. That I have to watch.
It's so good.
So what's it called again?
Well, hers is
an obstructive person or something like that.
What no.
An obstructive person is what you call.
What she was.
What they call somebody that's like left the church and like not good
a
for
suppressive
you.
Yeah.
Suppressive person.
Yeah, no, hers is Leah Remini.
Well, you should watch Going Clear.
I have seen that. I've seen a bunch of other ones on like YouTube and other stuff, like personal stories.
I watch all the Scientology stuff now.
It's bananas to me how that is a thing.
I agree with you. I don't understand.
I'm shocked.
I don't understand how like the guy that founded it was a fucking science fiction novel writer.
Yeah, he wrote like, about aliens as a joke.
The fuck on.
Yeah.
Remember, a lot
of
people
out there. Religions, but that's
no, but remember,
that well, I shit on every religion. All of it to me
it's
is
all fair game.
Is all of it to me is because if you're making fun of Scientology, you have to be able to make fun of like a burning bush and Jesus walking on the water. Like it's all a scam.
The thing when it comes to the science fiction writer is that you have to accept what the Brendan Fraser movies.
The Brendan Fraser movies?
Yes.
The Mummy?
No.
The one with...
Journey to the Center...
The one with...
The one that The Rock's in and stuff like that. Isn't it Brendan Fraser?
No.
Brendan Fraser?
Brendan Fraser hasn't worked in like 15 years, babe.
No, Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Oh, he was in something like that. Yeah.
The H.G. Wells.
H.G. Wells, yes.
That's the whole thing behind H.G. Wells is that there is people out there that full on believe that the reason H.G. Wells wrote all these books...
Is because he had an extra insight, or
is
he could see the future
world,
or something?
He traveled to these places, which is what the whole Brendan Fraser movies are
Journey
about.
To the center of the earth is Jules Verne, though.
That's what I'm talking, Jules Verne.
Thank you. Like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and all that stuff.
Yes,
you know?
Thank you.
See, that's definitely Jules Verne.
Well, he led me on the H.G. Wells.
It's all your fault.
It's all your fault. Blame the because boy. You're an android.
And it's not my fault, but I'm taking responsibility.
It's not my fault, but I'm taking responsibility.
That sounds like a title, too.
I'm taking it.
But the Jules Verne, like, all his stories, people... There's like people that really believe that
I'm
these
sure
places
there
are out there in this
just
world.
Like I'm
and
sure
they
there's
exist.
People that believe in Spaghetti God. Like it's fine.
The spaghetti, leave the Spaghetti
but
Monster alone.
The Spaghetti Monster is
the Flying Spaghetti Monster
is
an amazing
satire on all that stuff.
I know. So you know that, but I'm sure there's a handful of people that have taken that and fucking made it a real.
Of
well,
course.
Yeah, I'm sure like you can find people that don't know that it's satire and be like, no, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
And they will start believing it.
The Satanist Church in Central Florida. Is not a Satanist church. They are an anti-Christian, like they're kind of the spoof on like all of these people who want like the Ten Commandments and they want Christianity to prayer back in schools and all that stuff, and they're like, all right, now you have to include us too because we are the satanic church.
Right.
We are a church. They're recognized.
Yeah, I know.
So they go in there and they're like, no.
You have a tax exemption form.
Yeah. So did you hear about that story where they had to let the satanic priest in, you know, quote unquote, do an invocation at a public forum because they had let somebody pray?
Yeah.
People showed up in droves and started praying at this dude who was literally making fun of them. He's mocking them, and these Christian evangelicals, fundamentalists were like trying to cast out a demon. It's like, motherfucker, you can't do any of that. No, it's real. Stop yelling at this poor man who's making fun of you. Whatever.
Well, anyway.
Well, but so, and what, but just a.
I don't know what why we.
The point wasn't.
Because we always end up on Scientology.
Yeah. We always go back to Scientology. But yeah, we talked about the path, and I just like said, oh yeah, I think it's the new episode, and I opened up Facebook. I actually didn't even hit Hulu. Like by mistake, just force of habit, I hit Facebook and it had like sponsored list. The Path is now showing on Hulu, and I was like, "What the fuck?"
I'm telling you, it's creepy.
Not today, Satan. You don't win today. Not today.
It doesn't happen on my phone, so it must be an Apple thing. I don't understand. I have those things. Shut I can up. Turn those things off on my phone.
Okay.
So.
You know. Sure, Jan. You can check us out on the Geek Bro Network.
Yes.
Along with great other podcasts like Zeros on Heroes and What's Up, Bro? What's Good? House of Heel? Cosplay Fame.
There are more now than I remember.
There's a lot of
Shiver.
Them.
Shiver. Shiver
all of these.
Ooh, I wanted to do Shiver.
Talk to Dave.
Yeah. I'll call in.
Did I miss anybody? If I missed you, I'm sorry. There's too many.
I think we got to hit everybody.
There's too
just
many.
Just go to geekbro.net. They're all listed there for you.
Just go to
geekbro.
They're all there. And we'll have a new podcast.
Yes, and
next couple months.
If you want to contact us, send us an email, wine recommendation. We got an email from Sarah.
We did get an email from Sarah. We're working on that.
We are trying
I'm halfway done.
Yeah, I was not in the right headspace for 13
and
reasons
we,
this week.
And we have actually debated, Sarah, and we will keep our listeners updated of how we are going to address.
Yeah.
Yeah, and certain other things that we've been wanting to but haven't wanted to bring the mood down, so we're talking about that. Also, next week, this coming Saturday, we are having our Mother's Day episode, which we're super excited about. We're having a sleepover. We rented a suite and we are having junk food and a lot of wine.
No diet on sleepover.
No,
night.
No diet
gonna
on sleepover
be
night.
A train wreck.
Oh, bam, for bam, sure. Bam.
Yeah. Oh my God, there's something flying in here.
That's the moth Mike let in when he got here.
Oh, what? Get
it away from me. Where is it?
It's over there behind Stephanie.
Oh, I wonder maybe.
Get it away.
It's fine.
Sorry.
I got it.
Mike's giant hand swat.
I just got it.
That was the most like apathetic swing. Like
I got you. Don't worry.
I did it.
We will be posting. We will be recording.
We'll be recording that on Saturday, but it's going to air before Mother's Day.
Yes. Before Mother's Day.
So it'll be our Mother's Day extravaganza. Yes.
Off the rails.
Yeah.
It's
so if you want
and that reminds me,
want to hear anything from that? Email us mamasandmerlot mommasandmerlot @gmail.com. Go ahead.
No, I just have to buy something for my mom now. I gave her a bunch of Japan stuff. That's going to... fuck, I fucked up. I should have held some.
Yep.
I should have held on to some shit.
I wanted raspberry Kit Kats.
Oh, fuck. I have them at my house.
Bring them on Monday.
Feel free to bring them on Monday.
Bring them on Monday. I'll save
bring
them
on Monday.
But
I have to like parcel those out. I have to like they're like a currency now.
Everybody wants them.
I don't want them.
They showed us pictures at the Japanese gardens. They had like a picture of like it's an exhibit about life in Japan, mm-hmm. and like one of them is like treats.
Like oh yeah, yeah, treats, yeah, yeah.
And like it showed like just a wall of like 8,000. I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
Different like Kit Kats. They had like green tea.
I personally
and, like,
bought like 7 different flavors. I can't remember what, but there's like they were. I went to the Chocolatory, the Kit Kat Chocolatory.
Nice.
Ooh.
There's one place
is it
where
like
it's like
the Wonka Factory.
It's like a Kit Kat chocolate laboratory.
Oh my God,
and yeah, there was one that I got that's like butter flavored.
Ew, that sounds gross.
It's salted butter. It's good.
Oh, okay.
And then there's one that's like pistachio and grapefruit. There's one. I'm telling you, the raspberry one, green tea. There was one that was like a black tea flavor, black tea with soy.
I could get that.
There was a blueberry something or other. There was a dark chocolate one. There was a white chocolate one. The cranberries and nuts in and shit.
See,
it was
get
nuts.
Yeah, why don't we get those?
You can order them online.
Yeah, no, Nary ordered one for Aries. A
Which
strawberry.
One?
A strawberry Kit Kat.
For who?
For Aries.
Aries Spears?
Mm-hmm.
We get like crappy.
Oh, yeah, no,
pick
sure.
it up. You drop the name. I'm kidding.
I just said Aries. I had to specify.
I had to mansplain to myself.
You had to mansplain who we were talking about.
Is that a thing? Can men mansplain themselves?
Sure. Why not?
I don't know. Mansplain.
Ask David.
Guys, and I'm gonna leave you a one final thing.
Firefest tweet.
No, not Firefest. Oh. Just, you know, Courtney Cox is now older than Tom Selleck was when he started playing much older no. boyfriend Richard on Friends.
Wow. But she looks damn good.
She does.
Really?
Why is that important?
She's yeah. still
fucking... Because we like Friends.
Right, but she's fine. I mean, I don't understand.
She's fine. I'm just
saying, I wasn't a big fan of Cougar Town.
We're getting old.
Because remember, these were 20-somethings.
I see what you're saying.
And the whole thing was that Tom Selleck was
in his
50s. 45, 50 almost?
50 when he was on the show.
So well, now, he was in his 50s, no?
He probably was.
Maybe.
I dressed Oliver like Tom Selleck this week.
I saw it. That was great.
It was possible he was already in his 50s and she was in her 20s.
We have these little computer thingies we can use.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for checking us out and we'll see you next week. Cheers,
cheers,
guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.